popping? We're live on Facebook. Just like we were on Thursday. We're going to try and stay on longer today. It was a big disappointment. Not to mention the ooh, which was really strange. And I've rehired Brandon's mom as assistant program director. I thought she was making a creative critique, but no, it was a technical issue.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Brandon.
Oh, thank you.
Whoa.
Oh.
Coming in hot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
All right, you can accept, show your gratitude again.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Why does he sound muffly?
I don't know.
Are you serious?
No, that's better.
A bit. Trudy, let's see how you sound.
Right here from Farmington Hills. What's up?
Not bad.
Yeah. Not bad. Cool. Yeah.
Pretty good. How's it been going over there at Wheels?
Oh, everything's great. It's awesome.
I don't know if I believe that.
Well, good for you.
I don't know. There are a lot of people who are bored in the middle of the day and they want to hear music, and that's great because, you know, they have time.
Well, let's see. I'm going to share the Facebook with... apparently, I sent Charlie's show to someone 8 times. I didn't mean to do that.
Nice. Did they watch it?
Did
they get the hint?
I'm not sure they wanted to watch it. I think they might have been doing something. They were nice about it, though.
Did you know this person?
Yeah, it's one of our followers.
Okay. I didn't know if it was just a stranger.
I mean, I was just trying to desperately share, you know, share. I think we have potential to do some really big Facebook lives and maybe, you know, share. I mean, really, Facebook is like a rash sometimes.
Yeah.
In some ways. In fact, I was thinking about that when I was looking at, I was confirming all these friends, which I was maybe about 2 or 3 years behind on. And I got to 5,000.
Ooh, and you're stopped.
And now I got all these people I can't even confirm, and I apologize to all of you.
It means you'll have to start a celebrity account.
Okay. By the way, I want to share
technology and stuff.
To share to my 5,000, do I push watch party?
I don't even know what that is. I hate Facebook. Well, I love Facebook.
You know what? The first name that comes up when I do watch party, and it's got, like, you can send individually to people.
Yeah, Tom Mazzaway.
Michael Morse. That's the guy that I sent 8 times.
Oh, yeah. No, Michael's a great guy. I know Michael.
Okay.
He doesn't mind.
Well, where's my
attorney
watch party?
Mike Morse?
Yeah, same guy.
Oh, you know what I think the watch party does?
Great lawyer.
What's the watch party?
I think it notifies the same people in the Drum Mic podcast fans group that already notified.
Oh, great.
Oh, I got notified just now.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Drew Lane started a watch party with a video. Sounds like a blast. Is that
how do I get my 5,000 on here? My Drew Lane account.
That's the one you did it from.
Okay. Well, some people, if they're in all three, the podcast fans 1 and 2 and me, then yeah, they probably got 3 notifications. So they're probably tired of hearing about this. But here we are.
Nobody cares.
And oh boy. First of all, I think some people are getting checks today.
Really?
Yeah.
Has anyone out there gotten a check?
I heard I saw on Facebook some people talking about they actually checked their accounts and there were checks in there.
Hmm.
So that's cool.
Wow, I have an extra $250 in my paycheck.
Well, good for you.
The governor was addressing us all at 3 o'clock. I didn't watch a ton of it.
They fixed their lighting screen problem.
Yes,
that's
the
first thing I noticed.
They could see the graph.
They still have not fixed the camera position, and I'm getting really annoyed because I've been watching a lot of other states' ones just to compare, like de Blasio and, of course, Cuomo.
Are they sitting at tables that look like they should be for tank tops half off?
No, not at all. It looks terrible. Michigan looks terrible.
She's looking at the wrong camera half the time, too. Look at it. Look what she's... Oh, my God.
I do say we have one of the best signers, though, I've ever seen. She's really good.
Oh, that's...
I mean, she could be lying. I don't know what she's saying.
There was a blonde-haired female on Thursday who was very active.
Blown out! Did she get blown out?
I don't know what happened. But people... You know, it's hard to tell how many people are really mad, but over 150,000 people have signed a petition. They want to recall Gretchen Whitmer.
Really?
As governor. Yeah, because they're so angry.
Right now?
Right now.
That's right. Lock her up.
Right.
And obviously it's not going to happen right now because you have to get the signatures. You have to, it takes a long time. But the whole business of don't do anything, I think really angered some people. Well, the people who are afraid of government overreach, the Alex Jones crowd, not just the Alex Jones crowd, but a lot of people. And in fact, you know, I'm kind of pissed
totally
too.
Insane.
And I'll tell you why it pissed me off. First of all, I want my yard mowed.
Yeah.
And I don't make out with my landscaper, as I pointed out.
So you say. The more you say it, the more I'm starting not to believe it.
By the way, there are people cutting branches from DTE today.
I know. I had a full conversation with them when I got here. Because your whole yard and both your driveway and the neighbor's driveway are just covered in these massive branches. Great guys. Had a full conversation with them. But as we're talking, I would take one step back, and they took one step closer to me.
Really? They weren't social distancing from you?
I wanted to social distance, but they wanted to be closer to me, I guess. I don't know why.
Well, they were a little clumpy themselves to be clumpy.
They were very clumpy.
I don't think I've ever called anyone clumpy before. so, yeah, I was glad to see that because, you know, I'm worried about the high winds and losing power, of course. But, you know, the landscaping thing is just a small thing. This business that, you know, people who are already at...
What the hell was that?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Random noise. It's not you.
Okay.
467 before you
went. Oh, that's good. Okay. I was just checking.
I knew you were. That's why.
Oh! you know, people who are already at stores, to block off the paint area or the garden area.
Guess what? I bought dirt and gardening stuff on Saturday.
Whoa, I want this man. I want him arrested.
Hey, they were selling it. It wasn't on the black market. I did wear a mask and gloves.
I think, the people I see out at grocery stores and 7-Eleven and places like that, they're wearing masks. Most of them have gloves. Mm-hmm. And I think why it makes me mad, especially because, you know, we have nothing to fucking do.
Yeah.
Is it really going to kill us to buy a can of paint if you're already in a store like Meijer? I mean, you can buy paint at Meijer, right?
I don't know. Can you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't think they have any restrictions at any of the big box stores besides Home Depot.
Well, Home Depot, Lowe's, all the, you know, home makeover type places.
Well,
there was a problem. Most
stores are open, though, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So if you're in there, this is what makes me mad. I think most people who are in there are responsible enough. They socially distance. They're wearing masks. Those people aren't really the problem. It's more, you know, the people that have to have a party, like Dak Prescott apparently had a birthday party.
Yeah.
The Cowboys quarterback. Yeah. What an asshole. And I don't know if neighbors saw it or how it got out, but I just poked through that story today. Were there any details? I didn't read the whole thing.
No, you know, No Filter talked about it a little bit. New episode today with No Filter. Of course, Denny took the angle like, they should really be questioning his decision making. Which is true. I mean, he is a quarterback. You would think he'd be the one to make wise decisions, but then again.
You know Dennis across the street?
Yeah.
Dennis had corona. He had COVID-19.
It's too close to home.
I know. He was landscaping, by the way.
Always.
I may need his help. And I know we're not going to make out, so I'm not worried about it.
I don't know. But
Dennis, he's kind of hot, though. Dennis is cool. Anyway, he said he was in 3 airports.
Yeah.
And he actually thinks he got it at Metro.
Yeah, you know, he flies. I've talked to him a lot. He flies to Asia.
How do you have such a big relationship with my neighbor?
I talk to him all the time. I'm outside a lot. It's
you
been a while.
Not know more about my
What's
neighbor
What's he doing
than
up
I do.
There?
I mean, you know, we make out and we have a little talk time together.
Really?
Apparently, Dennis, he wants somebody to make out with him. You won't do it.
No, Dennis doesn't want to make out with anybody. Dennis is happily married, actually, to a woman who was walking her...
I want you two to kiss each other.
He married... There's a nice lady who lived in the neighborhood who used to walk her dog by his house. And I think Dennis admired her from afar.
Oh.
And then, I don't know if he had a dog or he got a dog so he could meet her, but there was some encounter, and what do you know?
They're still making out.
Him and her got it on.
They did. So anyway, a lot of people felt the same way I did. I think just that, really, are we going to be that nitpicky about it? When you're in a place you already are, for them to block off these areas, because, I mean, we are at home with nothing to do. Isn't it not necessarily a bad thing if somebody wants to paint the house, like the Mazzaway girls? Where'd they get their paint, by the way?
Oh, they painted the house.
Tom said they painted 2 rooms.
I forgot about that. I don't, you know, the problem with her new edict, her new order, is that it there's just so much confusion around it. I think best illustrated by the fact that you can't drive up north.
You can't wait. She's saying you can't go to a property that you own.
Yeah.
If you're at another property you own.
But if you own that property and you're a resident of Ohio or Indiana, you're more than welcome to drive into the state.
Okay. First of all, are they going to suspend property taxes on secondary properties for people? No, they're not.
Shouldn't it be more a request? Please do not travel. I mean,
yeah, I think most people are doing the right thing. It's certain boneheads. You know, there's apparently some get-togethers in Detroit that are really pissing people off. Mike Duggan made reference to it.
A bunch of people were ticketed.
Ain't no party like a Detroit party.
Because a Detroit party don't stop.
Even in coronavirus.
And, you know, there's Rouge Park and a couple other places where, you know, people just think it's so fun to flout the rules and I'm not worried. Well, those are the people that are the problems, not the people wearing masks who are walking around Home Depot. So, you know, I get it. I don't want her recalled, but I was annoyed by that.
You know, it does help, though, is Grow Green. I mean, they have all the dirt and soil.
Yes.
And I think they have seeds. PJ, do you guys have seeds? That's a radio for one.
Oh, I think they've got some seeds.
Vegetable seeds and...
They are open.
You do the read.
Under the latest orders, they fall into the agriculture category of essential business, and they're buying truckloads of soil, lights, and nutrients daily to make sure you can keep Michigan green during COVID-19. Your plants rely on you. You can rely on Grow Green to keep the doors open and the shelves fully stocked with everything you need to grow your own veggies, grow your own cannabis, or to care for your lawn garden. If Grow Green doesn't have in stock, no one does. Shop in-store, over the phone, or online at growgreenmi.com, where delivery and curbside pickup are available.
Nice.
How many people are in our little party?
519.
Hey, that's pretty good.
It's very good.
I think we're... is Joe Might there? Is that an all-time record, possibly, for one moment in time?
Around the time Mike Clark last year, I think we had around 800 at a time. So.
Oh, wow. Hey, what's going on?
How about that?
We love you, Joe!
Don Osten wants to know where I'm getting my hair done.
Yeah, where are you getting your hair done?
And declares a security breach. To Don, I did it myself.
What?
Yeah, I actually did my own dye job. It's not that hard.
Tree looks like
you don't like my hair, do you?
Why didn't Zeus help?
Oh, yes. Coloring mommy's hair. Yeah, that's pretty.
I think Trudy got...
Needs a haircut.
Dressed up for Facebook Live today.
Oh, no, I'm in my booty t-shirt from slopped out from Target.
Okay. Yeah. Your hair looks pretty perfect.
She has no pants on either.
I think you were poofing your hair, doing something.
Poofing.
I do it in the mornings when I get ready to go into work because we got to do a video from there. So.
Oh, fun.
Hey, where are you? I can see the beams on your ceiling now.
I'm in my family room, my great room.
Oh.
Come on, your house sucks.
It looks pretty cool. Less POSE than I would have thought. And
yeah, I mean, it looks good. It's like a patient who presents well.
Nobody likes your house anyway.
Right now it's asymptomatic. Is that what you're saying?
It is for the most part. Although all this wind, I was thinking I have really tall trees. I'm like, oh, God, this would be the time when one of them falls on the house. But then, you know,
insurance.
I have an excuse to leave. Yeah.
Ah, that too. Now, the yellow, that's a really bright yellow you've got in there. That's a bold choice.
Oh, the gold, the walls?
Oh, is it gold?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Can we see more of the walls so I can see how it works with the rest of the decor?
Take home me mellow yellow.
I think you might just be looking for something to pick on her for.
No. Oh, never.
Oh, okay.
It looks a little, possibly. It looks a little rock. Trudy, is that kind of a rock room-ish feel?
I think every room in my house has a little bit of rock room to it.
Okay,
great answer.
Over the years. But this piece on the wall, can you see that way off in the distance?
The
yellow framed?
Yes.
Are you saying they put a cocaine cellar in the house?
That was a Christmas present from you.
Oh, I can't really make it out. What is it?
It's Stevie Ray Vaughan in Double Trouble.
Oh, okay.
Cool. At the Syria Mosque in Pennsylvania.
Pretty damn cool.
I know. Wow, it's very cool.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
You know, the problem if you ever have a big rock room is that, and then you move, like, I don't have enough wall space for all my rock room stuff. I don't know what to do.
What was the occasion for getting that that for her, Drew? Do you remember?
Christmas?
Christmas.
Christmas, okay.
What a stupid present.
I saw him tee that up because I was teeing up the same thing. So perfect setup. Well done.
It's such a great drop.
It was the best.
By the way, did you see Hey Jude lyrics were sold over the weekend?
Yeah, was it 800 grand?
I think it was 900.
Where did you get the money for that?
10.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
I have an inside line on the Hey Jude lyrics.
What?
I think Ursay bought.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
That makes all too much sense.
According to an insider, James Ursay purchased the Hey Jude lyrics. And he has the rock room of rock rooms. He's got the On the Road original manuscript, Jack Kerouac.
Scroll.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was watching the Grateful Dead thing on Prime Video, which was fantastic, as I previously pointed out.
I just started it. I started spacing out a little bit, so I'm going to stay with it.
I think there's space. There's some Dreamweaver stuff early.
The early stuff is really Dreamweaver. I'm sticking with it.
They get into the acid test.
That's right where I'm at.
Okay. It's going to get pretty cool. I think you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. I know you'll post me on that.
You remember Beatlemania?
Anyway, Jerry Garcia says that when On the Road came out, which was 56, and he probably didn't read it right away, maybe 58, he would have been 14 years old or so, that it changed his life. And I remember reading On the Road, and I was probably, I think I was like 32 or 33, and I remember thinking, wow, if I had read this book when I was like 17, this could have all been very different.
Oh.
And that's what got that one guy, the biographer of the Grateful Dead, right? Didn't he send him to that as a gift? Is that? Did you just mention that? Am I spacing out?
Wait, the On the Road manuscript?
No, the On the Road book.
Oh, sent it to?
That was in the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Okay, there was. Yes.
Like a really very successful book.
I don't know if anybody's ever read a book like that, but it was one of those things where if I had read it when I was 17, it was partying and, you know, the stoners were sort of separating themselves. And Jack Kerouac, well, he was like an early hippie. He was a premature hippie. He was a beatnik. And, you know, there was all that code language in the book, too, about speed and pot and all the things they were doing way before anybody else was.
Isn't Steely Dan the dildo in that book? Is it On the Road?
Is that from that book? I know that's what the band name
it was named after dildo,
But
I don't know.
Dildos?
Did you guys all? Did anybody else read On the Road?
Years ago,
Trudy.
Dildos?
I've not read it, but I do have a comment about dildos.
Oh,
dildos are not essential items.
Well, dildo comments are always welcome.
I was on last week with John Oliver.
Oh yes, he sure was. I saw him.
Dildos?
Yeah, it was on. Yeah, that was a wild story. We'll maybe come around to that.
I was so proud of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, that part of that story that was mind-boggling was that the guy that organized the boycott at Amazon, and I have a lot of sympathy for the Amazon workers, and four Kroger workers have died.
Yeah.
It's so strange. 21, somebody died from the Ford plant.
Yeah, they're up to
today. 21 big three employees have died. Yeah. So I'm going, well, I wonder how many big three employees died last year in that period. I mean, it's just, I don't know what to make of it. That sounds like so many people. And then the death rate year to year in Michigan was down in March.
Hmm.
Did anybody else see that?
What do you
mean? Dream
so,
that, did
so
I?
So March of 2019, there were less deaths than March of 2020?
No, March of 2020, there were less deaths than March of 2019.
What was killing us last year?
Well, there's probably a lot less car accidents.
Oh.
AIDS.
Probably a lot less AIDS.
No, there's a lot to these numbers, and sometimes I, you know, when you hear a story like that, 21 people, the big three, you go, oh my God, this thing's killing everyone, and then you look at the world total, which is what 22,000 out of how many billion? 5 billion people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use many stats.
It doesn't seem like that.
Sounds like you're ready to open the economy back up.
You have stats that are far worse than the ones that I use.
No, that's above my pay grade.
There was a story.
I've never said that before. Ever.
Above your pay grade?
I hate when
I used
people
it about
say that.
30 minutes ago.
Really?
Talking about Textov, and I said to Zeus, that's above my pay grade. Now I feel like an asshole for using it.
I don't know. I think I just have a thing about cliches. Like if people say something too many times, it just bothers me.
Well, if the
like at the end of the day, isn't it time for at the end of the day to be at
if the
end
shoe
of the
fits?
I don't know. That's a conversation. There's just a lot to unbox there. So
let's unpack.
It's a good teachable moment, though.
Oh, boy. Okay. So anyway, getting back to Gretchen,
I wonder how our press conference was today. Should we go and see the Q&A?
It's short, man. There was a guy asking questions today, which is new.
They showed a person asking the question?
No, I could tell from his voice that it was a man. And I don't think I've ever heard a man ask a question.
No, I haven't either.
Wait, what?
At Whitmer's press conferences.
Yeah. I didn't realize. You never see
your misogyny.
You never see the quote-unquote press, and there has never been a male asking a question, and it just sounds like these disembodied media people are just firing questions that are actually the biggest softballs you could ever throw, complete nerf tosses. They're not. I don't think it's a real press conference.
It's not,
because Charlie would be there asking a very difficult question.
Why isn't he trying to get in there?
I'm sure he probably has, but you know, honestly. Gretchen, what is she going to do? She's the governor. She's trying to get us over this hump. I understand. It's very hard. And when she says, you know, if we make one exception, and I understand what she's saying. But, you know, we all know about that lottery tickets can be bought.
Here's the big question. Is she doing any worse or any better than other governors? I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows?
No idea. But I just think
she's complaining a lot.
I think some of it's kind of silly, and I understand why people feel that it's an overreach, but you know, these are strange times, and
like anyone can even know that.
Today, her message was, "We will get through this." Some people are wondering, it's gonna be 3 weeks, another 3 weeks, another 3 weeks. We will get through this, and I hope she's right.
I would think she'd be getting a lot of crap from the people that don't live near the Detroit area, Grand Rapids or Lansing, people that live in smaller communities.
Oh, right. I think she is. I think she is getting a lot of crap. Dana Nessel, though, really just blew it over the top on Thursday. And I was kind of bummed that these tweets didn't happen while we were still. How many people on Facebook Live, by the way?
494 now. We're under 500.
We went down.
And Larry, you're right. I do think DeWine in Ohio is doing better than Gretchen here. Commentary radio for one.
Are people sharing Facebook Live? Come on. Share. I'll let you know what that tweet was all about. You've probably heard about it already.
515.
Our friends at Zot Auto Group and DealsNeedy.com are here to lend a helping hand during these unusual times. As you know, the governor had shuttered automobile sales, but that's no longer true. You can now purchase cars online.
Yes. You can, yeah.
Do we have any details from Gabara?
No, you know what? He called me. He called me today, and I couldn't answer because was doing some stuff, and I texted him, I said, I can't talk right now, and he goes, just trying to see how many times I can call you before you call me back. I said, the last two times you called was during the show.
Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now, so I can't talk.
Well,
so to answer your question, no, there's no new copy, but there might be. I just haven't answered his call.
There was some cynicism about this whole auto sales thing getting opened up. Now, for Gabara and Zot, of course, we're happy for them. Buying a car online and having them deliver it is not going to hurt anyone. Hopefully.
If anything, it's going to help people because we've talked about, you know, you got to be able to get to your job.
Well, yeah, if your car doesn't work or your car is breaking down on you and this is not the time to be without a car. Anyway, naturally, you know, the auto dealers have a lot of clout. So yeah. I'm sure they can get heard when they say, hey, we can sell them online. Come on, it's not going to hurt anybody. They'll get heard. You know, whether some other people will get heard, you know, maybe not so much. But anyway, we're happy for Zot because I know they want to sell cars. And they do have the service areas open at Zot Dodge Ram. Can do warranty work on all Dodge Ram, Chrysler, and Jeep vehicles. Zot Toyota. Are we going down, by the way?
No, 540. We're going up.
Keep going. Oh, more commercials. Zot Toyota can do work on all Toyotas. All three locations can do general repair work on any make and model. Zot Ford in Holly, Zot Dodge Ram in Highland, Zot Toyota in Waterford. Plus, the Toyota Body Shop is an authorized repair facility for most major insurance companies and can perform body repair in all makes and models. So while things are a little crazy, remember, Zot is open, man, across the board.
You know, they have more information on the site, too, either dealsinthed.com or zotauto.com.
Okay. So
I don't normally comment on the commercials, but that commercial makes me just a little horny.
You haven't teased our interview coming up, by the way.
Oh, with the 93-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay, the Hall Financial Hotline will be open. And if you're paying anywhere near 4% on your mortgage, I just got an email from someone who just redid their mortgage with Hall. He went from 4.25 to 3.75.
Ooh.
And I think he had a couple issues, but they were able to square it away. So he is very happy, saving a lot of money for a long time, like 24 years he had left to go.
Good for you.
So anyway, interest rates are low. If you're paying anywhere near 4%, you really should talk to somebody at Hall Financial. And if you're thinking about a refinance, it's a smart thing to do if you can. If you can save money over the long term, or you need to take money out of your house, as many people need cash right now. It's a big problem trying to get through this damn thing. Well, why don't you check out DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewandMike or call 248-308-5000. They can do this quickly. Average 19 days, 44 is the industry average as far as days. So they're way ahead of the curve there. Or you can go to our website, click the link on the website, and fill out the online form to get back to you fast. Because they are Hall Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 1476-7435.
Spend your money well.
The Hall Financial Hotline will be wide open because there's a 93-year-old woman who's desperately in need of booze.
Yeah, she went viral. Her daughter put up a picture of her, like an old a whiteboard that she wrote, I need more beer, and held it up. And she's just been flooded with tons of free beer. She claims she only has one every night. But if you have that much free beer, you know, she can have more than one, right?
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of Rosie Pate. Do you remember Rosie Pate?
I remember Rosie. Rosie was great.
She called,
hit me a beer.
There she is.
She got in trouble for calling 911. To get beer. But she fought back.
I was there to dial 911 tell the police to bring me some beer.
Beer!
I don't live to get 68 years old, and I never died no phone calling no police to bring me no beer.
Do you think she's still alive?
You know, maybe we should call her. Do we still have her number?
Yeah, I can't control that computer. Can you do it, Brandon?
I'll check. Beer. Anyway, I was going to get to Dana Nessel because she... God, she made people mad on Thursday. I admit, I was pissed. I just thought this was so stupid and pandering.
She tweeted it underneath another. It is very pandering. But yeah. Her original tweet, which was factual, fine. That point is fine. But then it gets blown all out of the water when she responds with this tweet because the focus tends to change just to what her original point was.
Well, I don't even care what her original
point
was.
What an idiot.
This tweet, any context, is just ridiculous. And I hope everyone just fucks her over when it comes re-election time. I just can't hear about one more black healthcare worker, police officer, or bus driver die while getting a barrage of complaints from white folks outraged because they can't go golfing.
Nice.
Fuck you. Wow. Fuck you.
Yep.
You could hear about another white healthcare worker, white police officer, or white bus driver die. That would bother you so much. And a black golfer. That would be okay.
Yeah, apparently.
Why are you making this about race, you dumb...
Go black!
You dumb fuck! I mean, honestly, that is just so stupid.
I'm speechless. I don't know why she would tweet that.
And I wasn't crazy about her other tweet either.
If she would have tweeted that and maybe left out black and white, is that okay?
Yeah, probably.
Of course.
Yeah. But she wanted to pander.
Yeah.
And her previous tweet, and by the way, I wonder what she's doing about this, the stuff
Nothing.
That bothers her so much.
Nothing. She's not, you think she's been, what can she do? You think she's been anywhere?
The high rates.
LaDuff was pointing out, you think she's been down to the jails?
No.
Of course not.
The high rates of infection and death within the African-American population from COVID-19 is staggering and horrific. It further establishes how African-Americans are treated like garbage when it comes to equal opportunity and access to health care, housing, education, and employment. Now, the reason that would bother me, to think of health care workers and how hard they're working for mm-hmm. anyone who comes in.
Nobody wants to hear this right now.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's offensive. To suggest that these people are treated like garbage because the system includes everyone, the doctors, the nurses, so on and so forth. By the way, Dana, did you tweet anything about the 70% of COVID-19 deaths, which are males?
Yeah.
70% of COVID-19 deaths are men. Does that bother anyone? Or only if they're a certain
kind
of
men? Check your misogyny.
Does she hate any or have any other sweeping conclusions to explain that?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Oh, pointless. I like Erica pointed out on Facebook Live 504, by the way, that he said, I bet Dana Nessel lives in a, quote, Lily White zip code. I wouldn't be shocked. Eric. I mean, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, there was the most annoying response. I got to find the tweet. Oh, Lordy. Oh, my God. There were so many comments below the tweet.
Her tweet?
Yes.
Oh, good luck finding it. She tweets so much.
Oh, does she tweet a lot?
Yeah, I had trouble finding it the other day.
Well, I picked it up in a story. Let's see. High rate of infection. white folks.
Folks.
Shut up, cunt.
Whoa. It's like hearing your inner voice.
I'm sorry.
It
was just a real cunty tweet, wasn't it?
Don't be sorry.
Where's the golfing one? Damn it. I feel like you jinxed me when you said you couldn't find it.
Well, that was more of a challenge.
The live is captioned. I can't wait till the C word has to be captioned.
There was a guy, somebody, you know, people were bitching like hell about the quote. And then somebody comes back and says, oh, these are unusual times and very difficult. And when this is over, you can get back to your privileged hobbies. And I'm like, fuck you too. Okay. Fuck you, you cunt. That was a guy, but I'll call him a cunt.
What hobbies are we allowed to like then, mister?
Your privileged hobby. Oh, God. Hey, you know.
What a dick.
And not that I'm a big part of the golf world. In fact,
but who cares?
It's the snobby part of golf that makes it hard for me to care about golf because I just never wanted to wear the right clothes.
I drive by Rackham, you know, damn near every day until they shut it down, and there's all kinds of people golfing, men, women, black and white. It's just stupid.
Well, here's why.
I can't wait. God, I miss golf.
Hey, don't let Dan Nessel hear that.
I don't care. I want to golf so bad.
She's going to hear that, Brandon.
I saw two or three different people say this, and I'm dying to know if it's true. So maybe one of you guys can look this up. It said that golf is a $4.5 billion industry in Michigan. That can't be right.
$4.5 billion?
No
way. No way. Not in Michigan.
Can somebody look up the Michigan number? Because I'd like to get the
number. I'm pretty sure Michigan has more golf courses than any state. Yeah, so, I mean, it could be.
No, it's boating and golf both are huge assets to the Michigan economy. I'm sure golf is wildly a great thing for the state in terms of all the courses people travel to. And they stay there and they spend money in those communities. And it's huge. So it's not just about somebody who's dying to go out and give someone coronavirus because they want to play golf so fucking bad. I mean, it is a big deal.
$4.2 billion impact on Michigan's economy.
What? Wow.
And that, you want to know where that comes from? The Michigan.government website.
Whoa.
It's when Governor Gretchen Whitmer proclaimed June of 2019 Michigan Golf Month.
Can someone send
Michigan!
That? To Dana Nessel, perhaps.
Not only that, the charitable impact from golf is in excess of $118 million.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a big deal.
It's a big loss. I'm not
making I have a tea time. Daddy no golfy, daddy get cranky.
But you imagine what boating is, too. I mean, because lakes now, I mean, we're surrounded by them, and boating is huge as well.
Oh, yeah, the boaters are not happy. I would say, I think, honestly, who's the bigger risk, the golfers or the boaters in terms of spreading COVID-19?
I'd have to say the golfers, because when you're boating, you're out on a lake, at least.
Yeah. Are the golfers using the clubhouse?
No.
Well, everybody uses it to get, you know, pick up your... Yeah.
No. They probably have the you know, the ninth hole thing where you can pick up a hot dog or something from some guy behind it.
Yeah.
Glass.
Well, why can't they do that?
No, they don't have to shop for fucking golf shirts and stupid bright green pants.
Why not close the clubhouse and dining and all that and leave the course open?
I think that's what they want to do.
Well, what's so wrong with that?
Brandon, who's a bigger risk, golfers or boaters?
I would probably say golfers because I think there's more of a higher volume of golfers than there is with boaters for the most part. If you have to put the two together, but...
I got two words that might change your mind. Jobby Nooner.
Oh, well. Hey, there's a lot of sandbars that get a lot of people all throughout the summer. Well,
boaters do like to party. I mean, boating without alcohol, is that really boating?
Oh, God, it sounds like a chore.
Plus, you get people on a boat. I mean, is it fun to be in a boat by yourself? No.
Hey, Twitter world.
Here's somebody that's mad about the courses.
What can I tell you? First of all, happy Easter, but geez.
Oh, it's nice. Happy Easter.
I can't get a haircut. I feel like it's the 70s, man. I got a fro, right? I can't go to church. It's Easter.
I can't murder no
I'm
one.
I'm not going to let them take all my golf money. Look at that. Now, what does that look like? About an 8-iron, huh? Well, let me take my 8-iron.
Can
over
I go
here.
Around beating people up and murdering people right now? He's hitting golf clubs in his backyard like he did, or like he claimed he was doing. when he got, right, isn't that what he claimed he was doing when he got the cut?
He was hitting wiffle golf balls, I think, wasn't he?
You got to do something. Look, stay healthy. Happy Easter. Take care.
Thanks, Juice. That's
they great. Call me Juice.
Very nice message.
The Juice.
Nice. Do you have Bill Maher and the new rules?
I can get it, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And
while you are digging that up, I'm going to mention Adam, which came on during the coronavirus, which is pretty weird. I mean, normally it's advertisers leaving, but hey, here they come. And in fact, I guess they're getting some response from the ad and just the timing of the whole thing. And, you know, nobody wants anybody to go through the horror that people go through. But, you know, it does happen. And if you are a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front line may need to get divorced too.
Yeah, well, it's true.
I could, of course. No, I'm telling you, when you walk down the street, especially right now, every house you look at, there's probably a pretty good chance there's some pretty bummed out people in that house.
Oh,
not pretty good chance. Maybe 2 in 10. Every fifth house.
Why don't you just file for divorce?
Somebody is dying to get out of that house. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356. Adam.
Yeah.
Bill Maher, who, honestly, you know, he's so left. He's certainly left of me, but I can find him to be funnier than almost anyone sometimes. When he nails something, he absolutely nails it.
I don't think he's as far left as a lot of people think he
probably
is.
Probably not.
You know what he is doing that's better than a lot of the late night shows right now? Is that for his monologue, he's using crowd noise, like mic'd crowd noise, and then they would cut to, say, you know, a crowd at the Apollo or other stock crowd shots. But it
or
actually
the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yeah, it's just tons of, you know, canned laughter, but it works with the monologue, whereas, you know, a lot of the late night shows don't do that, and something you can tell something is missing.
Was there a burp?
Yeah, Brandon was queuing something up.
I just want to mention that before you hit Bill Maher, I was reading. He was trending on Twitter on Saturday, maybe. Was it? What?
Brandon's adding a laugh track.
He was trending on Twitter, and so I'm like, why is Bill Maher trending? And so I look, and it's this, it's what you're about to hear. And people on the left are livid. He's a racist. He's all these terrible things because he wants to call the virus, the China virus. He doesn't have a problem with calling it the China virus, and he calls out China for a lot of stuff. And so all these people, you know, who generally probably agree with a lot of what Bill Maher says, and he probably agrees with a lot of them, they're so angry that he would dare call it the China virus that he's just getting lambasted. Oh, he was funny in the mid-90s. I mean, it was just like, I couldn't believe the shots people were taking at him. So anyway, I thought it was fantastic. Just me.
Slap people virtually. I would do
talking about Bernie,
but I can't leave the house. And finally, new rule, you can't yell at someone for breaking a rule you just made up. Scientists, yes, scientists who are generally pretty liberal, have been naming diseases after the places they came from for a very long time. Zika is from the Zika forest. Ebola from the Ebola River. Hantavirus, the Hantan River. There's the West Nile virus and guinea worm and Rocky Mountain spotted fever and, of course, the Spanish flu. MERS stands for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. It's plastered all over airports and no one blogs about it. So why should China get a pass? Congressman Ted Lieu tweeted, "The virus is not China. Constrained by country or race. Be just as stupid to call it the Milan virus." No, that would be way stupider because it didn't come from Milan. And if it did, I guarantee we'd be calling it the Milan virus. Jesus fucking Christ, can't we even have a pandemic without getting offended? When they named Lyme disease after a town in Connecticut, the locals didn't get all ticked off. ticked off. Seriously. It scares
you,
me that there are people out there who would rather die from the virus than call it by the wrong name. This isn't about vilifying a culture. This is about facts. This is about life and death. We're barely 4 months into this pandemic, And the wet markets in China, the ones where exotic animals are sold and consumed, are already starting to reopen. The PC police say it's racist to attack any cultural practice that's different than our own. I say liberalism lost its way when it started thinking like that and pretended that forcing a woman to wear this was just a different way instead of an abhorrent human rights violation. It's not racist to point out that eating bats is batshit crazy. In 2007, researchers at the University of Hong Kong wrote, "The presence of a large reservoir of SARS-CoV like viruses in horseshoe bats, together with the culture of eating exotic animals in southern China, is a time bomb."
Yummy.
Dr. Fauci says we should force a global closure of the wet markets because the current crisis is a, quote, direct result of them. On Monday, the UN's acting head of biodiversity said the same thing. So when someone says, what if people hear Chinese virus and blame China?
China!
The answer is we should blame China. Not Chinese Americans. But we can't stop telling the truth because racists get the wrong idea. There are always going to be idiots out there who want to indulge their prejudices. But this is an emergency. Don't we have bigger tainted fish to fry?
Yes.
Jesus, if the sun was exploding, Twitter would pile on the first guy who called it a dwarf star. Sorry.
That's a good one.
Americans, we're going to have to ask you to keep two ideas in your head at the same time. This has nothing to do with Asian Americans, and it has everything to do with China.
China!
We can't afford the luxury anymore of non-judginess towards a country with habits that kill millions of people everywhere, because this isn't the first time. SARS came from China.
China!
And the bird flu, and the Hong Kong flu, the Asian China. Flu. Viruses come from China like shortstops China. Come from the Dominican Republic. If they were selling nuclear suitcases at these wet markets, would we be so non-judgmental? And isn't this pretty close to what they are selling? And the next one could be even worse. If the Chinese military had purposefully infected this country with corona as a bioweapon, we'd be at war with them. We're always griping about how China manipulates their currency. Well, I'm no monetary expert, but I think you would agree this one hurt our economy a little more than the currency manipulation. And China can do this. China once built a 57-story skyscraper in 19 days.
Cool.
There's been a pothole on my street for 19 years. They're not like us. They can actually get shit done. This is a dictatorship that for decades enforced a one-child per family policy under penalty of forced sterilization. But you can't close down the farmer's market from hell? They need to use that iron fist and pound it down like the whole world depends on it. Because it kind of does. And I hope that if someone told Americans that eating Hot Pockets could cause a worldwide pandemic,
what?
That we would have the good sense to stop doing it. Although I wouldn't bet on it. Okay, that's
Thank
our
you,
show.
Very good.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, I just thought he nailed so many things there. And, you know, the whole thing is about that if we call it the China virus, Asian Americans will be taunted and beaten. And, you know, if somebody is so stupid that calling a virus the China virus is going to cause them to assault or to yell at some Asian American person. Isn't that person, I mean, is that really, is it calling it the China virus? That can push them over the top? Is that what it is? I don't think so. I think those people are looking to take out their prejudices on someone somewhere all the time, probably. And
did you see the new poll about the whole thing with China and it being made in a lab? What percentage of Americans do you think COVID-19 was made in a lab?
Oh, God, I'm scared to ask.
49?
49? Yeah, 49.
I'm going to say 25.
29%.
Oh, really?
I'm shocked that is that high.
How well do I know the American public?
Now, 25% aren't so sure. They just don't know yes or no. Yeah, so yes. it could be up to your 49, Trudy. That's amazing.
That is pretty pretty incredible. How many people are in our party now?
They're gone. I kicked
what?
Them out. Well, because A, they couldn't see Mar, and B, I don't want Mar to get us kicked off Facebook anyway, so.
Wait, so we're not live anymore?
Not anymore, no. It was 40 minutes long.
Okay.
I had to make an executive decision. I was afraid the Mar thing would get us kicked off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, well, do people want to watch us watch that? I don't know.
Well, if you can hear it. I mean, yeah. this show is to be heard, not to be watched. That's why, honestly, I hate this business that now you can't have a show without video. Because I never wanted to be, even when I was 25, I didn't want to do video. That's why I chose radio. And I don't get why. Because I still love listening to podcasts. Just listen, you know, use your imagination a little bit.
The theater of the mind.
MyBookie. Why is MyBookie still talking about MyBookie? Well, MyBookie's still talking about MyBookie because the casino's wide open. And boy, have I been playing some blackjack.
Successfully, of course.
I had an incredible streak. Honestly, I put in $300. I got up to $2,000. And I thought, oh, I got to start figuring out how to get my money out of MyBookie. Because, you know, I had taken the bonus. And so you had a certain amount of betting. And I thought, oh, surely I've passed it. And so I'm thinking, I'll take out $1,000. I don't know why. Just because?
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know,
I'm trying to win $600.
I went in this horrible losing streak.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not really worried about taking money out because I'm down to like 449 or something. Oh, well.
And it's gone.
I'm still on house money. But anyway, yeah, my bookie's still
there.
It's
gone. There's plenty don't worry about it.
There's plenty
it's
of stuff. access to your favorite games, blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. War. And by the way, blackjack, you know, why do I have to go on my book? If there's money on the line, it's twice as fun. It just is. It's like football with a bet on it. Is a football game more exciting or less exciting if you have money on it? Of course it's more exciting. So there. Video poker may not be your thing, but video poker not your thing, but still need a fix. They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers. I didn't know that. Live on site 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic. Don't even sweat it. MyBookie's partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit MyBookie.ag. Use promo code DrewCasino. Drew Casino is now the promo code?
Yeah.
Okay, because we moved to the casino. Okay, promo code Drew Casino, DrewCasino, for a 150% bonus?
Ooh.
Wait, what happened to the 100% bonus? They've gone mad at my bookie on your first casino deposit. That's promo code Drew Casino to get 150% cash bonus. Wow, so I would be at, where would I be now? Instead of at 449, I would have started with 750, so I'd be at, I'd be over 900 bucks, right around 900 bucks, 899. How about that? That's promo code Drew to receive 150% cash bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code Drew Casino to activate the offer. That's promo code Drew Casino. You spin, you win, you get paid with mybookie.ag.
Yeah, okay. I heard you as I was running upstairs to play War. Have you played War in the casino?
You know what? One night I was bombed in Las Vegas, and I had lost my ass. And so I just stumbled into the war table at like 2 in the morning, and I played for like 4 hours straight.
Wow.
Talk about a fast table game.
Yeah, it goes very fast, especially when you're alone. But I won a lot of money. It was bizarre. It was like, why am I winning at the war table? This is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How'd you guys like Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. There were a couple sketches that I did laugh pretty hard at. I really enjoyed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles update, which is Middle-Aged Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was really fun.
Haven't gotten there yet.
So I'll just say this. The second half hour is way better than the first hour because the Pete Davidson sketch was atrocious. The Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing was awful.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what was after. I think it was the Zoom.
Yeah, the Zoom one is just kind of cliche. It was all right, but it went on too long. Yeah, they didn't know how to end that one.
But I finally laughed out loud with the one girl's impersonation of Carol Baskins because I just rewatched the last two episodes of Tiger King because Julie was finishing them up. And it's the thing about Tiger King that makes me laugh now looking back on it is everybody's mode of transportation. The guy that was on the jet ski is hilarious. Then you have Doc Antle, who rode an elephant. That was his mode of transportation. And Carol Baskins riding her fucking bike saying, "Hello, cool cats and kittens," will just make me laugh every time. So on SNL, that's the line the girl pulled out in the way she said. I don't know. It just hit me. It was really that
and
one
line.
And don't
forget, was Travis was an avid rider of ATVs and his memorial. His memorial is two ATVs with a chain around it. It says, "Don't touch."
That's right. I don't know why that it just hit me. It's like, oh my God, everybody in this documentary has really weird ways of getting around, man.
Hey, and you know what? We'll be able to see more because isn't there a brand new episode dropping this week?
There's supposed to be, and I think tonight on Fox, they have an hour-long TMZ show on the real story of Tiger King because they've been able to interview Joe Exotic from jail. So I don't know if that's are we going to get to the point where it's overkill?
I thought this was the real story of Tiger King.
What, the one? Oh, the documentary itself?
Yes, I thought that's the real story. And now they're talking about making the movie of the real story of Tiger King.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, I heard Kate McKinnon is supposed to be her in some adaptation. And I also heard that
Dax Shepard
really wants to play Joe Exotic.
How can you make a movie about something? It's so funny in and of itself. Yeah. A movie can't possibly top it, can it?
No.
I think that's dumb.
And if you've seen Tiger King, why would you go to the movie? You've seen it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've really seen it.
Yeah. The opening sketch with Tom Hanks, though, does anybody believe that he actually lives in a place with a kitchen that small?
No. No. Thank you, Trent, for pointing that out.
And I noticed he had his dork kid in the picture frame in the background just to promote his dork kid.
His Chet Hanks.
Was it Chet?
Has Chet been putting anything out?
It was who? Truman Hanks? Oh, that's right. There's a Truman Hanks. I forgot about
that. God.
Right. The forgotten Hanks.
Well, at the risk of, because I went to refresh my coffee, so if I repeat something, I apologize. When they showed the open, you know, where they show them in their abodes,
yeah,
instead of the usual shots around New York, could Colin Jost have found a tighter t-shirt to be wearing? was he pushing his muscles? Did anyone notice that besides me?
He does push.
Oh, I noticed it. Plus, he had his guitar out in the background.
Thank you. So that was my next point, Trudy. Oh, Colin Jost must play guitar because there's a guitar in the background.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of people working from home with a guitar in the background, just strategically placed. Remember the two guys from TMZ each had a guitar in their background?
Yes.
Conan has a guitar. Well, Conan can actually play guitar, but he's got one in his background.
What is
the guy in the news station that has one in his background at CBS?
Have you noticed the rash of people who are, for whatever reason, they're doing news at home or something at home, and they are in front of their awards?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've seen like five people on Facebook and like four of them local, and they're right in front of their award shelf. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Are you kidding? Really anybody nasty. Can win a local Emmy. Jeez.
The only person I've seen do that successfully was when Brad Edwards interviewed himself. Do you remember that
Yeah,
bit?
I do.
He interviewed himself. And as the interviewee, he was in front of all his awards on purpose.
You know, I'm so glad Brad is.
Why won't anyone give me an award?
I'm so glad Brad has gone on to big things at CBS in Chicago. He's the anchor of the 6 o'clock and the 11 o'clock, I think. And he was so good here, you know, and we had him on the show a few times. And I just thought, wow, he's just uniquely talented. And I thought there's great things are going to happen to this guy. And sure enough, it took a couple stops, but they did. And now he's probably the top dog in Chicago.
Yeah, one of them.
And he wasn't even a news anchor when he was here. He was just reporting, but he was doing great.
He's really good.
Really unique, creative stuff. Mm-hmm. So good for Brad.
Amen. Did you like anything that was on SNL, or were you able to finish it?
I didn't finish it. Honestly, there was stuff on there. This rarely happens to me when I'm watching SNL, but occasionally does. That I was embarrassed for the people
I would agree with
in the skit. It was like, this is painful. And when they go on too long, and I don't know. I also...
David and as Bernie.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, that was terrible. Bad. I hated to say it.
The news was bad.
Yeah, the news was bad.
They tried to put the laughter in, and it just didn't work.
No.
I find too that it's strange. You know, when I was watching the Open and I was paying more attention because it wasn't the usual Open, I don't know who any of those people are. There's people there that have been on the show for years, and I don't know them by name, which is really strange. I remember when I knew every cast member by name, and you knew the guy that was only in something occasionally because he was the only guy that was in something occasionally.
Yeah. Well,
is that accurate, Trudy? Did you look at it that way? Did you usually know the people on the show?
Oh, absolutely. You knew every cast member. There weren't as many as there are now. It seems like they need more people to do less. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I don't know why they need all these people. Is it because they need to be diverse, so they have to have lots of people?
Some reason to add a cast member, funny. Right?
No, I know that's the whole problem with this concept. But you know, I just thought it was a really bad show, and I did enjoy Chris Martin doing Shelter from the Storm. In fact, I think we should take a break in the show today and play Shelter from the Storm. I kind of want to hear the Dylan.
Son of a bitch.
Wasn't it in what movie? It wasn't in a movie.
It's in Jerry Maguire at the end.
Yeah.
It's in a few movies, actually. I think it's a fantastic song. But when Chris Martin sang it, I liked it.
That's good.
But his voice is like too frivolous or something for that song. I don't know. I just like the way Dylan delivered. And I know a lot of people hate Dylan's voice, but I love the way he delivers that song. But I could go either way. Doesn't matter.
Well, it's up to you.
By the way, I have the Facebook feed on, and I was looking at the comments from while we were live on Facebook, and somebody, might have been Patty P, pointed out that I could make out with Dennis because he has the antibodies now.
Oh, there you go.
He's already had coronavirus. Yeah. So, Dennis.
Well, go for it.
If I have to make out with someone landscaping my house, it should be Dennis.
Let's all make out with Dennis, and then we can get in the same building again.
All right.
Dennis is going to be the cure to coronavirus because he's going to make out with everybody.
So what's the name of the 93-year-old who is begging for booze?
Her name is Olive, and I wrote it down phonetically on that piece of paper.
Olive's enough. And Brandon, did you find the number for the other lady, Bia lady?
Rosie, yes.
Rosie,
yeah.
We have her number too?
Yeah.
Okay, we should call Rosie.
We found it.
I wonder if she's called 911. She called 911 for beer, didn't she?
That was in like 2014 or 15 that we talked to her.
She could be dead.
She could be fun to talk to just about anything. She's a great guest.
Don't get me a beer.
I've heard that dropping forever.
They don't wrote that wrong. That's wrong.
By the way, I listened to the old Drew and Mike stuff, which there's a part of me that there was a ton of downloads on Thursday. It's like... I would say we're getting in the middle of the week, maybe 20-30% less downloads. And then we get more on the weekend. And generally, podcasting audience, I think they say, is down 20-25% because people aren't in the cars. And a lot of people listen to podcasts on the way to work and on the way home from work or when they're out and about because it's so easy. And because a lot of people just don't really like radio too much anymore or they've gotten away from it.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Except for your show.
I'm sorry. But I do get those people... who you'll say, hey, do you know so-and-so on such a station? They'll go, oh, I haven't listened to radio in 10 years. I mean, there never used to be people like that. Everyone used to listen to the radio a lot. So, yeah, podcast listening is down, but then that episode had a huge pile of downloads. And part of me was like, that's fantastic. And the other part of me is like, it's me, Mike Clark, I have to get the right downloads.
I thought that when Joe said that the Facebook Live when Clark passed was way bigger.
I know, I was a little jealous, I have to admit. But I loved hearing Mike, too. It was really cool. It was fun. The chopper accident is just so funny.
That is great.
And I'm so proud of my play-by-play. And the fact that the Airwolf theme is playing every time I hear it is just so funny to me.
Good, then. I'll be proud of my production.
It was a great call.
Well, you can't go wrong with the Airwolf
theme. No, you can't.
Ever.
Jan, Michael, Vincent. Okay, is this Olive on the Hall Financial Hotline? We're dialing up? Cool.
Oh, it's busy now. We missed our block.
Call Rosie.
Oh, no. I don't suppose she did that on purpose.
While you're calling Rosie, I'll remind people the team at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas continues to up their carryout game, and they've got beer and wine now. What? Rosie's busy, too? Rosie's talking to Olive?
Yeah, they're going to get together and drink. Socially distanced.
Since when do you get busy signals anymore, anyway?
Well, Rosie's was not a busy signal. Maybe she's dead.
Aww.
That is weird.
Try Olive Beck.
Yeah, Mason's offering now carry out beer and wine to go with your delicious grub. When you call in your order, just toss on your favorite bottle of wine or a six-pack of your top cerveza. No need to make two stops. You can satisfy your Mexican cravings as well as your need for ice-cold beer and world-class wine, all with Mesa's curbside pickup, Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats, or call 248-545-1940. I almost know the number by heart. I've been eating so much at Mesa lately. I mean, not at Mesa, but I've been picking up. And they do carry out. You can just drive up. There's easy parking in Royal Oak.
Love this song, though.
Try her back in a little bit.
Olive.
We actually set up an interview. Now she's crazy. There. Unless her daughter is busying out the phone on purpose.
Mm. Somebody else had a note on their door, by the way, and she... Olive went viral because she was holding a note. I need alcohol.
Yeah.
And it's this 93-year-old woman in front of this glass door. And
do you want to hear the story, the news story, or do you not care?
I don't know. How much more is there to know?
Well, you just hear from her. Forget it.
Well.
Screw her.
No. I got to do, everything I need is just put a big sign in my window.
Yes. And be old.
Yeah, you're going to have to be older, Trudy. Sorry. Got to be old and cute old.
Don't get me a beer.
So I was going to mention that Live Nation. Oh, boy. Well, before I get to Live Nation, there's some people, some scientific types. They don't usually have a lot of great news to give when it comes to, you know, where we're going right now and how long it's going to take. But the idea of live concerts, big crowds, the concert business is looking at the possibility that it would be no sooner than fall 2021. So Mick Jagger and Chris Illich can continue their spending sprees with my money. is Chris...
By the way, it's not just concerts, it's sporting events too.
Yeah. I know.
I don't believe it.
By the way,
I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm not going to be in a big crowd anytime soon. I don't know when I will, but I'm going to sure see what happens to the people that go before I go.
There might have been a little argument about Michigan football games in my house.
Oh, that's one where I bet you'll put up a bigger fight than normal.
I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to say that.
I know I'm right about that.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. Don't be silly.
I agree with my wife.
There wouldn't be a fight if you didn't.
What do you mean? No, it was okay. I miscategorized it. It wasn't a fight. It was a conversation where someone felt really strongly that I shouldn't go.
I bet you felt very strongly you should.
And I felt that it is way too early to make any kind of rash decision like that.
I think you've made your mind up already.
What are you talking about?
Don't start fighting with me. Why don't you kiss me?
She did not sound like that, Brandon.
There will be.
No.
If there are people at any football games, they will be at Michigan football games. Trust me.
I think I can be safe. I think I can socially distance and wear a mask, and especially if it was like a blue mask with yellow wings on it. Cool.
You got some fancy schmancy seats, so I think you're...
I make him wear whatever I think he's going to look the best in.
Your situation's a little bit different. But
Cooper and Tesla are canceled, by the way. That's the latest hot off the presses concert.
Which one? Which
something in Tesla? You cut out.
Alice Cooper and Tesla.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rage hasn't canceled yet. You know what? If Rage still goes on July 13th, Rage! I'm there.
That's weird that's not canceled. Anyway, Live Nation, the CEO of Live Nation, whose name is Michael Rapino, he has said that he's foregoing his $3 million salary for the rest of the year. Rapino. Anyway, whatever. Rapino. What he didn't mention is that he gets over $8 million a year in bonuses.
Oh, great. Well, he's not going to get any bonuses this year, though.
I don't know how he'd make bonuses. I bet you there's some bonus money that he will get at the end of the year. I just have a feeling one of those gimme bonuses. But anyway, they have had to cancel or postpone, and put postpone in quotes, because, you know, a lot of these things they're calling postponed are not postponed. They're fucking canceled. But why hurry to give anybody their money back? When you've got money from 15 million tickets that aren't going to be used. How many of those 15 million tickets do you think they've refunded?
Well, I would say anything that is up into this date, anything in the future they haven't.
I don't think that would be the case because they're still calling a lot of stuff postponed that really isn't postponed. They've refunded 1.6 million tickets out of 15 million.
Yeah,
so about 10% of the tickets.
You're right, because I forgot Elton John would have been... When was Elton John?
That was May 1st.
So, that's still coming up. But they haven't given that money back yet either.
Was there some news from the Tigers, by the way? I thought someone, maybe I saw a heading on an email or something like that.
Brandon, I think
someone
sent
say something. Did Chris Illich say something?
About the Tigers money? The ticket
no,
money?
I don't know. The link that I had sent was from other individuals with other organizations who are angry at, like, the Dodgers and... You know, like it's not just happening to you in Comerica Park. It's happening throughout the U.S.
That's what I saw. Okay. So nobody said anything from the Tigers. Of course they didn't.
That chorus will get really loud really quick, though.
Well, why do they have to wait till the chorus gets loud? I mean, come on. Give me a fucking break.
They want to make money on your money.
They're not playing in April or May. They could just refund April and they could refund May in May if they want to be cheap about it. Is this Olive?
Yeah.
All right. Whole financial hotline. Is this Olive?
Yes.
Olive, hi. It's the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit.
Oh, my gosh.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm in the middle of eating a big piece of pizza.
Ooh, you know, it goes great with pizza.
I'm doing okay.
Okay, great.
Are you having a beer with the pizza?
No, not yet. I'll save that till later.
Okay. Were you really in desperate need of alcohol? It looked pretty desperate in the picture.
Well, I'm doing okay.
You doing okay?
Who'd you say this was?
It's the Drew and Mike Show.
We talked to Anna earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she just went home now. She had to get supper for her husband and son.
Olive, on the phone.
Olive, it sounds like there's a lot of people there.
No, I have the television on.
Oh, what are you watching?
Oh, I don't know. I just turned it on for music or something, news or something.
Okay. That sounds like maybe it could be passed on. But anyway, Olive, what's it like being viral? Because millions of people saw that picture and got a good chuckle out of it.
Oh, God. I didn't know anything was going on until later on. Oh, my gosh. I sure was surprised.
Did you hear from some old friends?
No. Just to kind of do whatever it is, you know.
Okay.
I'm not
sure what that would be. But
you got a lot of free beer, right? Didn't a lot of people send you beer?
Oh, my gosh. It's something right here. I got anyway, I got enough to last me for a month.
Have you upped your daily beer intake? How much beer did you drink before?
You're not getting all sober on us, are you?
No. I just have it for once in a while in the evening. If I have a friend that comes in, I know they like beer. So, and anyway.
Like tonight, Olive, how many beers are you going to have tonight?
I didn't have any yet.
No, but how many will you have?
Oh, just one.
Just one beer at a time?
Yep. One, maybe one every day, maybe a couple times a week or something. That's all.
Now, you said that somebody, a friend, comes over? Because that would seem to be not in line with the...
social distancing.
Who's the friend?
My friend comes over later in the evening, helps me with my... bathroom facilities, you know.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
Like
okay.
That. I got it, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then she wipes up my floor, so it has to be wiped up, or just to have something to do, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the first part, having something to do. That sounds like it would be pretty...
So, anyway.
Oh, boy.
What's your favorite beer?
Coors Light.
Coors Light.
Coors Light.
Now, what happens if someone brings over one of those fancy microbrews?
Oh, I don't know. I'll probably put them in the refrigerator to keep them cold.
Hey, just to be clear, this friend of yours that comes over, is that somebody in the medical profession, an assistant of some kind?
You mean, yes. Like going to the doctor or something?
Well, you said that someone comes over and helps you with that. Is that somebody in the medical field or somebody who just helps?
No, just comes in the evening and just helps me with...
I see.
She feels like mopping up my kitchen floor while I just She knows what to do, and I don't know. Oh, okay. I don't say nothing. So anyway,
Ross.
Okay. Well, that's great. And Olive, I'm so it was fun to see your picture and the story, and so you get a little attention. And thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yes, I'm going to finish my pizza now.
All right, you enjoy it.
I will.
Bye, Olive. Stay
thank
safe.
You,
bye, Grandma.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. It sounds like this person comes over just to get off on her going to the bathroom. What the hell? What is that arrangement?
It's some kind of scat freak.
I'm kind of stuck on that. I mean, I just
don't worry. We're going to drink some beer later. Yeah. Then there's no telling what we're going to do.
I should have just let it go, but I just wanted to just, you know, make it clear that this is some medical professional coming over, not some
stranger.
Friend that she just hangs out with.
Someone that found her number on Craigslist.
And she chose... to not make that clear and say, no, this is somebody to just get off on helping me go to the bathroom, and they mop the floor. It's a weird sexual ritual that we have.
She did say bathroom, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Didn't that come across as weird?
It's really weird.
She's probably helping her bathe, right? But at first I thought she said he. Do you think she changed it?
Yeah,
so that
she
it
did change
so-
I thought she said he first, too. Something wild is going on in that house. Yeah. I just figured it was someone helping her, you know,
with their facilities.
Use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Change her.
Gross.
I'm here for the gangbang.
She brought it up.
Yeah, so it's her fault. We called her.
Well, I gave her the chance to make it clear, and I don't think she did at all.
I got to say, once again, nothing makes me laugh harder than people that are unaware how loud their TV is while they're on the phone. Even not just from the show, but in general. It's just really funny to me. I don't know why.
It did sound like happy hour was going on at her house.
I thought some other guy was there, probably to help her with the facilities.
Hey, Trudy,
turn off that television, y'all!
Do you have the latest from Dr. Roche?
I do have the latest from Dr. Roche.
Yeah, and they can do things virtually, of course. If you, you know, a lot of people don't have anything to do. So if you've been thinking about doing something or getting some new boobs or, I mean, anything along those lines, why not do a consult now?
Mm-hmm.
Got time.
Hey, do you know, can they actually simulate boobs on you? You know, like you can, like, take a picture of yourself and get your hair. Have you ever seen that app where you can change your hair and see what it would look like? I wonder.
They probably do, because they do that with face, you know, with some of the procedures they do. Yeah. They absolutely do it with nose jobs and things
you
like that.
You can do it by Adobe software.
It's like, it's one of the three approved memes. It's called Faith Healing.
Anyway, you can get consultations by phone. Just call 248-338-1110, and they'll step you through any of the procedures, help you set it up in the future when we can. Plenty of time to research it on the website at droche.com. Like Evolve, the new procedure that, boy, nobody got to use that before they had to shut everything down. But it's good for tight trim and toning up. And they're hooking patients up with amazing introductory offers for that once we get back. Plus CBD products, skincare, you could just order and they will ship it to you. Again, it's 248-338-1110 for the offices of Dr. Roche.
Or D-R-R-O-C-H-E. You can look at lots of pictures.
Brandon, people. Brandon, correct me. Play that drop, because it wasn't one of the three approved memes.
Yeah, I think you were incorrect, because everybody knows.
Use the approved poses if you want to be a memer. Peace sign. Body ears. Fake wiener.
The Faith Healing was something they were doing on South Park, right? No?
Yes.
Okay.
How long is Julian Assange going to live in an embassy?
How long did he? Or
does he still live in the embassy?
No, they kicked him out. I don't know where he didn't he get arrested. They're trying to extradite him, right?
Yeah. So he's in jail now.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he had two kids while he's in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Gross.
What the fuck?
And he was skateboarding up and down their halls, pissing off everybody who worked there. He was just living like a king.
And his cat. Remember, didn't his cat piss off everybody in the Ecuadorian embassy? Whoa, he was clogging toilets, too, remember?
Yep. Yeah, and he was bringing Pamela Anderson's vag up in there, too.
Yeah. Now, how does he get to nail Pam Anderson? Meanwhile, he's having two kids with his lawyer. This is his lawyer, by the way. This guy, you know, he has quite a romantic history. Trudy, is there something about Julian Assange that I don't understand? Because apparently, he can just... really pull some chicks.
I don't see it, and so he doesn't draw me in it anyway, but there is some sort of grift going on there with the soft blonde hair and
the
blue eyes, maybe. I don't know.
Because I would not have thought, first of all, you know, what he, the kind of work he's involved in is, you know, it's not, I'm not putting it down in any way. It's in the nerdish sort of area. Uh-huh. I mean, although, you know, computer wizards are certainly come in all shapes and sizes, but I don't know, he just didn't strike me as the kind of guy that pulls lots of chicks. But then when you read about the trouble he got into, in addition to WikiLeaks, it involved forcing himself. Anybody read about this besides me?
No. Mm-mm.
He was accused of sexually assaulting.
Moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of them, and they were pretty bad.
They tried to extradite him. That's, yeah.
And they also, was that in Sweden, maybe?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And the weird thing was, they were sort of running through his time. He had only been there a short time. Maybe he was there for 3 weeks, for example, say. I'm not sure what the amount was, but it wasn't that long. And the first night he was there, he meets this, I think she was maybe his caretaker or something like that. Nails her. First night. Next night, a couple nights later, he meets somebody else. Nails her. And
this guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
And I think she might have been the one that complained that it was very, you know, she really didn't want to or something like that. But and then there was another incident with another girl. But, I mean, he was just. He's just a one-man banging machine.
Just kidding. I still hate you.
What up, player?
And I don't understand, how is it that he's in this embassy? Because, you know, he's essentially skirting the law, right?
Yeah.
And to not be apprehended, he holds up in these embassies. And I don't even understand that either, by the way. If you've broken the law and you need to be arrested, how does an embassy, you could just go to the embassy and nobody can do anything and they'll just give you a room and you can live there as long as you want? What is that?
I think there were some allegations that he was helping Ecuador with something with WikiLeaks.
But he was in the Soviet Union. Wasn't he in their embassy? Or
I think you might
airport?
Be confusing him with Ed Snowden. Oh. Snowden was in Moscow.
Yeah. Okay.
He is in some way aiding the government, and they feel like they maybe have something that they can use before they decided he was a big load.
Well,
you got it.
Yeah. Okay, if he was aiding them, and so they're going, well, you know, you've really helped us, so we're going to give you this place in the embassy. Why don't they just put him in a hotel or something? Why does he have to be in the embassy?
Because they don't own the hotel. I mean, London, the hotel would be in London, and then they could go arrest him.
Right.
Oh, yeah. The Ecuadorian embassy in England.
In London, right. Yep.
Okay. And so...
But nice being a good... So nice being a guest so awful that they kick you out, despite all the things you're helping them with. Like, they were just sick of them. They were done with
I don't them. Understand this business that just because you're in this little tiny space where the embassy is, that the English police, the UK police, cannot do anything about it. That's... I mean, could he have shot 20 people and just run into that embassy and they go, oh, we do like you. We don't care about the 20 people you just shot. Could he do that?
The community.
Yeah, it's my understanding he could have.
Oh, come really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Why don't you go try it at a different embassy? Although I think America, we would turn somebody over. Because once again, I don't know what he was doing for Ecuador. But
well, I mean, this just goes on and on and on. And he knocks up this chick and has two kids while he's in there. What the fuck? Disgusting. I mean, the whole thing is so stupid. Not and this idea, too, that he's in this little tiny piece of territory. And so, therefore, nobody can get him.
When did
he can shoot up half the country. And he just runs to the Ecuadorian embassy because they dig him.
Did you hear they talk to his kid, one of his kids? I thought that
no,
was
I didn't
really
hear weird, that.
Because I didn't even know they were old enough to talk.
I wish I had a father.
That's all they said. That was their comment.
By the way, the lawyer is hot as hell.
Of course. Chicks dig this guy.
What is it? Is it the espionage element?
In the hair.
Where are these kids? So were they born in the embassy? So are they technically Ecuadorian?
No, they were born in the hospital, but he was there watching on video link.
Mm. Oh, so he's way ahead of this technology then.
He was on Zoom.
Personally, I feel like...
technology.
You mean in the UK, they can't cut off the Wi-Fi at the Ecuadorian embassy?
They could have.
Because this guy has done all this stuff. He's hiding in this little tiny piece of property where he's safe.
They could have. And then you know what would have happened? The ambassador who's in Ecuador for the UK would be like, hey, I don't have internet access. Because they'd cut it off to him.
I know. But that's a way to, I mean,
oh, no,
that's what I mean.
I
this
understand.
Idea that you run into this little space. You're safe.
No, I think it's
kind of crazy.
It's very crazy. Unless it's to our advantage sometime.
Well, I can't remember the last time that happened, but. Maybe it has. I don't know. It just seems like they could do stuff to make him a little uncomfortable. But no, he can watch his kids get born via video link. He can knock up his lawyer a couple times. He can bang Pam Anderson around the embassy.
Ugh.
What the fuck?
Ugh.
Where does he do all that? Is there a room where he just stays?
He had his own room, like his own quarters.
Apartment.
Yeah.
I also envision those places having offices, not bedrooms. But
yeah.
It just seems like the no more internet for you should have been in effect somehow, whether it was the UK cutting the Wi-Fi or...
He should never have had internet to begin with. The world would be a better place.
Well, he's watching the fucking births on video link. Yeah. I mean, hasn't he proven that he can't be... He's a little irresponsible with internet.
Do you wonder what angle they did it at?
A little bit.
What angle do you think Assange wanted to see the birth of his children at?
Good question.
That creep, man.
Okay, so I'm just kind of had it with this guy. I'm tired of him.
He's terrible.
And his stupid safe space at this embassy, and he's banging women, knocking them up, watching births on video link. It's like, why does everyone kiss his ass? Then the other one's driving me crazy. Have you ever get, I'm sure this happens, when there's a story, maybe it's because I watch too much news and I'm trying to find out what the latest is, and so I just keep bumping into these people I don't want to bump into. And Meghan Markle's a good example.
Ah, there's news on her today, so start the counter over again.
Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you who's driving me crazy, though, because this is just so stupid, is Lori Loughlin / Aunt Becky. Okay. When did this first come up? Wasn't this over a year ago?
Feels like forever, yeah.
I mean, it was a long time ago. And the facts are the facts. She gave USC $500,000 over the weekend. Somebody put out the pictures of her daughters rowing on a rowing machine because they were going to pretend to be crewers and be on the crew team. So, okay, we know she wrote the fat check. We know her kids had shit grades. Didn't want to go to college. We know they pretended to be on the crew. We know why. Why does this thing just go round and round and round? Why doesn't this story just end? I don't want to fucking hear about Aunt Becky until she's up for probation in 40 years. Throw the book at her. Get out of the news. I want you out of the news. I mean, seriously, how much is there to discuss about this?
Well, the new thing today...
And you know, with the networks cover it nonstop, there's some tiny development. It's like, oh, the latest Lori Loughlin Mosimo case. I don't want to hear about her, Mosimo, Olivia Jade, the Knott's hot daughter, whatever her name is.
So you don't want to hear about how Mosimo dressed down a school guidance counselor who dared question their rowing prowess?
I kind of would like to hear about that.
Here's that story. And there was a new Olivia Jade story last week, which
Tell me this dope
so
isn't still
annoying.
Making money on YouTube.
No, she posted something that was really annoying. I mean, I'll have to find it.
Lori Loughlin's husband ripped.
Oh, here it is. It's her bathroom selfie during quarantine, and then let's see. Olivia Jade posted three snaps of herself in a bathroom, gazing in a mirror while clad in a white terry cloth robe and clutching a green smoothie. That's really relatable, by the way. And then her older sister, the one no one knows. I'm not going to say her name because no one cares.
She's the not as hot sister. That's her legal name now.
Yeah, she shared some selfies on Instagram, too, that said, signed, sealed, and delivered. In 2017, Olivia crashed her car while crooning along to the Stevie Wonder hit song, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
What?
Did you know that? Yeah, while she was filming herself on Instagram.
Wait, this who crashed?
Olivia Jade crashed a car.
Okay, so
while
her
streaming
sister?
It. So then her sister kind of poked fun at it, writing signed, sealed, and delivered. But I just didn't know that Olivia Jade... once was filming herself for social media and got in a car accident.
I didn't either.
And lived.
No more social media for you.
Yeah.
No more internet for you. You don't. You're irresponsible.
Look at that cunt.
You're jamming to Stevie Wonder and posting everything but driving. And you got an accident. What, she kill 8 people that we don't know about too?
She does have influenza. Or affluenza, I'm sorry. She has affluenza.
Jesus Christ. Look how these people won't stop. I can't get them out of the news. I can't even get them out of my own show.
Did you read the Mosimo one?
Lori Loughlin's designer hubby once berated a high school guidance counselor for daring to doubt that the power couple's daughter was a college-level rower, even though the girl never participated in crew. Mosimo,
I agree with my wife,
confronted the counselor, identified as Philip Patrone, at Marymount High School in Los Angeles, the girls' school in 2018, according to the document filed this week. How much shit? I mean, seriously, isn't this case just ridiculous?
Yeah, here's audio of him confronting her.
What the f*** happened to my cheese balls? Where's my cheese balls? My cheese balls are right here. Where's my f***ing cheese balls?
I mean, these people are assholes. They're out of control assholes. Just throw them in jail. I said she faced 40 years. I want her in there 40 fucking years.
Yeah. Why did they get bail?
I don't know. I think it's crazy.
I mean, clearly a danger to everybody.
Gianulli. See, if they were likable or there was something that said, oh, but this and that. Yeah. No, but look, they're berating people who suggest, no cruise control. How dare you say that about Olivia Jade and her not-so-hot sister.
Her not-so-hot sister.
Julianne Zenger's Patronic questioned the team's supposed crew prowess to a rep from the University of Southern California about a month earlier after the school worker told the counselor the girl was going to be a rowing recruit. And the counselor had never heard she was involved in the sport. Oh, so he goes in and brings him because he doesn't know the lie?
Yeah.
What a cocksucker. I want him in fucking jail, too.
Forget about it.
I had no knowledge of involvement in the crew based on what I knew of her video blogging skit. Her video blogging schedule.
Oh, my God.
Why does he know her video blogging schedule?
Wasn't she making $1.5 million a year off that? People would know if she's making that much money on it.
I'm going to be suicidal by the end of this story. Petrin told investigators about the conversation. Where the discussion got back to Gianulli, that's Mosimo, who allegedly went to the school to confront him about jeopardizing his daughter's entry at the school.
You want to know why? You want to know why he knew about her schedule?
Why?
Because she went and yelled at him about it.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
Geez, sorry. Sorry, daughter.
Mosimo launched into an agitated stream of consciousness about his daughter's acceptance into USC, asking the counselor...
Can you think of anything worse than a Mosimo agitated stream of consciousness?
You wrote a check for $500,000, you asshole. How dare you act as if it's ridiculous that anyone would question any of her qualifications? Fuck you! You can't buy qualifications for your idiot kid!
The best defense is a good offense, according to Mosimo.
Mosimo went on to say that, I still did not get it. I was his daughter's counselor. I was supposed to help them. He then said he knows lots of people. Ooh. Oh, he threatened the guy.
Ooh.
His tone made me visibly nervous. Well, how do you know if you're visibly nervous? You can't see yourself. Counselor checked the high school's athletic records, found no mention of his daughter being on the crew team. He nevertheless later mentioned to a USC rep that Mosimo had assured him his daughter was a crew coxswain. Mm-hmm. What a fucking liar. Throw the book at them and get them out of the news.
Do you know who I am?
It needs to be over, doesn't it? Doesn't it need a conclusion?
Yes, it does. And it's fast killing me. For you.
I'm very important.
Oh, man. Madness.
My daughter dumped me.
All right.
That was Thomas Markle, by the way. Do you want to know the new, at the risk of killing you, do you want to know the new Meghan Markle?
Give me the headline.
I'll have to find it. By the way, I watched the elephant thing where she does the voiceover.
Oh, Jesus.
How was it? How was her performance?
It drove me nuts, and I think it's because I knew it was her, but it was like a kid telling the story.
Oh, but I bet she does the best voiceovers. She's a princess.
It's pretty cool.
And she gets to work with an A-list actor because the other person who did the narrating was Natalie Portman, and that's what she is. She's on the level of Natalie Portman.
Oh, my God. She is so not.
The headline is Meghan Markle and Prince Harry to get $1 million for a tell-all interview.
Oh, please. Why?
Well.
Slut.
Why would they?
$1 million? Why would they?
What hasn't been told?
Well, you know, everything.
Heard it all.
Who are these assholes that want to just throw money at this imbecile?
Oh, $1 million? You know they can make more than that off of it. It's the imbeciles that want to watch it that are the problem.
Oh, God.
They've also been touring multi-million-dollar homes in Malibu.
I know.
There was a rumor they were going to buy Mel Gibson's, to which I just thought, oh, my gosh, I hope their relationship falls apart like every single one Mel has in
the
house.
What happened, by the way? I thought they didn't want to be here until Trump was not the president. What happened to that? I guess she needed to get back to Hollywood and her A-list work.
Yeah.
I was on Netflix on Saturday, and I was shocked to run into this multi-episode documentary called The Innocent Man.
Yeah, I've seen that.
John Grisham, you know, the great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And lawyer, this is the only nonfiction work he's ever done.
It was
his second book. And it's about, I only got 73 in Rotten Tomatoes. I thought it was really good. I want to say it's like 5 or 6 parts. Now, I thought it was a great binge. You may get a half an hour into it and say no, but I think it's worth a try. If you're desperate for stuff, which I am.
Yeah.
It's about two murders in Ada, Oklahoma. In the 1980s, that were, I don't remember the story. but they were both just horrible. One girl was a clerk at like a gas station convenience store who was robbed and dragged into a truck and they took off and raped her and stabbed her. I believe she stabbed or shot. The second girl was, I don't remember how she was taken, but her body was never found. And so there was enormous pressure. You know, these are things like this don't happen in Ada and we got to get somebody. And at the beginning of the documentary, you see these two guys confessing, you know, like it's just nothing. Like, yeah, I cut her a couple times, raped her, and then he raped her, and this other guy raped her. And as you're watching this, you're thinking, oh, my God, it's these animals, how dare they? And what you find out over time is that, first of all, these confessions were done under enormous pressure. And, yeah, they were coerced, and there were other and everything, okay.
Was there any other evidence other than their confession? I mean, why do they single in on these two guys?
Because they looked like the sketch that was made. There was a guy who pulled up with his two nephews to get some change for a poker game or something, and they saw this guy walking out with this girl. And they went in, he kind of had his arm around her, and they went into the convenience store, and there was no clerk. And they're like, what the hell is going on here? And no one ever came out. And they knew this girl that worked there. And so they called the police and said, something's wrong here. The cash register was open. So they realized that, oh, my God, we got here just as she was being taken out of here.
So that was the description.
So they saw these two guys, and the two guys that they picked up did resemble the sketch.
Okay.
And they were you know, people who'd been in trouble. And that's one thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one thing that you do.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
You find that as this goes along, is a lot of these things that happen to people, you know, whether it's false confessions, you know, they happen in small towns and, you know, weird places like that, too. And these people were, Ada is, I got the impression it was extremely white. It's in Oklahoma. And, you know, there's a very wealthy part of town and there's an extremely poor part of town.
It's really funny. I just assume because you said Ada, Oklahoma, that the suspects were white. Were they white?
Yeah, they were white. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. They were. And they said the things that they complained about, and there were a lot of problems in that town that, you know, I can't possibly explain
it all.
But they made the same sort of complaints that you typically hear from, you know, poor inner city black teenagers or, you know, who are accused of crimes. And, you know, when they really need to close a case, which we've seen so many times, especially before there was DNA and things like that. And anyway, one of the cases... these two guys who confessed were given life prison terms and there was no body, you know, which was at that time in 87 or 86 when that case was, it was like, well, no body, you can't possibly prosecute that. But there'd been a couple cases that had. And so they determined, and, you know, these guys had described her blouse. It had these flowery things on it, a white blouse with a blue trim and, you know, all these specific things. And they stabbed her this many times and a big stab in her neck. And that's probably what killed her and so on. And it was very clinical the way, I mean, it was just
cut everything open.
It was just chilling watching this confession when you first saw it as the jury saw it. But then what happens is, of course, they're imprisoned, and, you know, it was like, are they going to give them the death penalty or life? I mean, it was like that bad.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, they find the body. A hunter, I think about a year after they were in prison, finds the body. Yeah, it's always a hunter or fisherman. And oh, what do you know? Here's the shirt she was wearing. It's red with stripes. It doesn't look anything like the shirt that was described. And she was shot in the head.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? So guess what the DA said, the prosecutor says, the DA.
Oh, that they misremembered it. They're the ones that shot her.
He said that, hey, we convicted him without a body. Now we got the body.
Yeah, exactly the point.
It doesn't matter that she was shot or stabbed. I mean, we got the right guys and they're in there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, it's a win for him, so what does he care?
Well, I mean,
no, it's a big
some
loss.
Prosecutors, it is all they give a shit about. Yeah. Got somebody put away, and I believe he killed her. And I think even in the face, they just get so stuck in their thinking, or they just don't want to believe they're wrong or whatever. But
aren't they politically motivated to say those things too?
Yeah, I think to some degree. And then the other case, God, this is a wild case. One of the guy's names was Ron Williamson, who was accused of killing the other girl. The girl, and wait, they didn't find her body right away either. Ron Williamson's name. He was drafted by the Oakland Athletics, and he pitched in their minor league system and eventually hurt his arm. And he was so crushed by the fact that his major league career, and he really thought he was going to play Major League Baseball. And in Oklahoma, who were they talking about? Oh, Mickey Mantle's from Oklahoma, I think from somewhere nearby. And so, there's a lot of excitement about this guy. Could he be the next Mickey Mantle? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, for whatever that's worth. So he completely came unglued when his dream fell apart. Yeah. He just didn't know what to do, abused drugs and alcohol.
So they figure that's why he murdered somebody?
I guess so. He had some bad history. He had some bad criminal history.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
The other guy who was supposedly, they knew there were two people. This girl was raped and murdered in her apartment, which was like a duplex, the upstairs of a duplex. And they knew there were two people, so they had to get two people. And it was just, it was just one of those things. They got him to fix his in, and, they came within one vote of putting the first guy to death.
Wow.
The one who was a pretty law-abiding guy. Actually, he was a really good guy. It seemed like it generally. His wife had been murdered, and so this guy is wrongly accused of this crime, almost gets the death penalty. His daughter's 12 years old at the time. She's lost her mother to a bullet in the head, and then she loses her father to this. And this guy is just, he can't believe this is happening. The other guy, too, who's a little, this guy's starting to go off the rails, the baseball player.
Yeah.
Anyway, eventually, Barry Scheck comes into play, and DNA comes into play. And it's very complicated. I'm not going to tell you who got out and who didn't get out, but not everybody. Oh. Yeah, really? It's a very, I thought it was.
So there's two murders, and are there four? There were four?
Yes, there are four guys.
Okay.
Two murders, four guys. And I'll tell you this about the first one. The guys who supposedly stabbed the girl who was shot in the head.
Yeah.
Wearing a red maroon blouse instead of a white and blue blouse. They also had been told in this confession that this guy Otis somebody, I think it was Otis.
Otis, isn't that the
town
notorious
drunk on Andy Griffith?
Oh, I was thinking of Otis Toole. Isn't that
Otis Toole? Yeah,
famous murderer.
Yeah, that's right. He was Henry Lee Lucas's buddy.
Great looking guy.
Yeah, no, they had that's a great right. friendship. Those great guys friendship. Were peas in a pod.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had said that this Otis guy had, because I think they first of all they were confessing to something they didn't do, so. The one guy said, yeah, Otis, he's the one that took her out of the place. And Otis started raping her, and he stabbed her first. And, and Otis said this and Otis did that. So anyway, this whole story is based on the fact that this third guy, Otis, had, sort of planned the whole thing or sort of planned it. Hmm. Well, they go to arrest Otis, and Otis's mom said, he was here all night. What are you talking about? And he's got a broken arm from fighting with you guys two nights ago. And they're like, what? And so they go to the hospital, they check the records. Turns out, yeah, he got in a fight with a police officer.
Oh, wow.
And his arm was badly broken.
Best fight he ever got in, right?
He had to basically sleep in a chair for 6 months because this bone was so screwed up. So there's no way he was raping and stabbing some girl and then carrying her body to a house where she was supposedly, left. Wow. And they set the house on fire, which, by the way, had been burned 3 years earlier, it turned out. I mean, the whole thing was such a clusterfuck.
Mess.
And there's some sort of strange corruption along the way. There's a female who becomes sort of the go-to to say that, I heard them talking about it. He murdered her when he was in.
Nice.
I'm like,
thanks,
wait,
lady.
How is this guy in a cell near this girl? It didn't even make sense to me. None of it made sense. Anyway, it was just a wild.
It's called what's it called? The Innocent Man?
The Innocent Man, John Grisham. And I also watched.
A phone call.
What?
Doesn't know you're busy right now.
Spam.
Answer it. Hold it up to it. Oh, it's in Arizona. Maybe they want to buy your house again.
Probably do. Everybody wants my house.
Did you watch Dateline on Friday? I know it was a rerun, but I hadn't seen it before. The bank robbers.
I think I had seen it before. The bank robbers.
This guy comes home after his hockey game, which, by the way, they put way too much into his stupid hockey game because it was 2 hours and they had to draw it out. So he comes home and he's accosted in his driveway and they take him inside and his mom was there too and they had a gun and then they strapped a bomb, quote unquote, to his chest and said, in the morning, you're going to go to the credit union where you work and we want $1 million out of there. And don't call anybody or do anything. So on the way there, he calls
ready for a bomb.
He calls his boss to tell him what's going on. He's like, "Don't call the police. My life depends on it." So of course, his boss
calls the police
right away. and he gets there, and the bomb squad wasn't there yet, but the cops were all there. He never actually went into the bank, but they told him that.
And the bomb didn't go off. They actually didn't get the bomb people there in time.
Yeah,
and but the bomb did not go off anyway. Yeah, so this guy thinks he's going to blow up the whole time, and they're taking their sweet fucking time getting there.
But the amazing thing, and obviously with hindsight, yeah, they made him the suspect. They thought he was in on it.
Yeah.
And that he was doing it.
I did see that.
To which I said, if he was in on it, why would he place the call before he got to the bank? That makes no sense. So then it turns out it happens in Kentucky, like Knoxville, three times in that area. And these guys were pretty good at their red herrings that they would throw out and, you know, to kind of get police to get off their trail, including they had these realistic life. They said, I think it was $1,500, these masks that they would wear. And one was a female mask. So it was never two white males. Sometimes it was two white males and a female were there. And they would just say really bizarre things or do really bizarre things. So the victims, you know, they never matched up the story. Well, it all fell apart one day when they were trying to be pulled over and they went on this crazy police chase. And they were trying to do pit maneuvers on other cars on the highway to spin them out to block the cops that were chasing them.
Whoa.
Which, of course, didn't work. Their car got destroyed. They got out, ran into the forest of North Carolina. And disappeared. They couldn't catch these guys. But inside the car was a GPS that they had been using that linked them
to
other banks that they would sit outside and watch. And then there was this house on their GPS that they would go to, and it was a rental house near the Smoky Mountains. And they surveilled them for the longest time. I don't know. It was a really great story, really well done story.
Yeah, I'd forgotten all the aside. That is a really complicated story, but I did watch that on Dateline a long time ago. But now I kind of want to watch it over.
It's called The Villainous Plan. Story. It's definitely worth watching. These two guys trying to rob these banks.
Is Dateline running like oldies but goodies, best ofs?
Yeah, Channel 38 runs them nonstop, Trudy.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want to get lots of Dateline, just push for the perma record. On Channel 38, they have tons of Datelines. I think I've seen them all.
NBC's been rerunning them like crazy, too, on the weekends. I think they ran like four over the weekend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a couple other cool things on, was it Prime Video? I think it was. But should we play Chris Martin?
Oh, is that the one you want to go with?
Yeah, I guess so, because
I thought it was magical.
I thought it was good. I like it.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Hey.
Did you guys see it, Trudy?
I turned it off right as that came up. I was trying to get more content.
I skipped it, too.
What? What's wrong with you guys?
God. Because Chris Martin's been doing this all week. He did a concert last week, concert the week before. He's doing all this crap from his house.
Yeah.
Wasn't it black and white, too?
Yeah, it was black and white.
I don't like Coldplay. I like rock and roll.
And he did the...
Well, it's a Dylan song.
He did the
jerk.
He tried to redo his studio to look a little like the Saturday Night Musical thing, which was sort of silly, but I don't know. What do you think? But I mean, to be a one-man band and do what he did, it's a great song, too. I mean, I'll listen
There's
to anybody.
There's kids out there that love this stuff.
Do Shelter from the Storm. By the way, Strokes' new album was dropped today.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bentley keeps bugging me to listen to it because he's bugging me so much I refuse to.
I listen to...
Depriving myself of a possibly good album because he's annoying me.
I listened to a few tracks before the show, and it sounds like The Strokes. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty good. I got to listen to it more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Martin.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Oh, yeah. He wrote Entrance to Trains behind him on the wall.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when darkness was a virtue and the road was caked with mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Mm-hmm. I was burned out from exhaustion and buried in the hail. Poison in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
It's called Mother Nature.
Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrist and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Get out of its way.
She said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Tremendous amounts of water.
Now there's a wall between us. Something has been lost.
I took too much for granted, and I got my signals crossed.
Just to think it all began on an uneventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Don't play games with it.
Now I've heard newborn babies wailing like a mourning dove.
An old man with broken teeth, stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn?
Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
The storm will come, it will go. Won't you light my fire?
And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for you, of that I give my word. In a world of steel-eyed deaf men just praying to keep warm, come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Well,
come
Mother
in,
Nature.
She said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Get out of its way. Tremendous amounts of
come
water.
In, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Don't play games with it. The storm will come, it will go.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Boy, nothing can really add to a song like Trump, huh? I think he was taking Storm a little too literal in that version. I don't know. I thought it was cool. Did you really hate it that much, Brandon?
No, I skipped by it, and this time around, I was too focused on playing drops over it to even really listen to the content.
And I walked away to get blackberries.
You guys are the worst.
And Drew took a dump.
You guys are the worst.
Awesome.
You guys are the worst. Bum me out.
Well, they're running down Coldplay.
No, it's good. It
Trudy
was really
left,
good.
And Brandon was too focused on the...
You know how I know you're gay? You like Coldplay.
Well, Drew, you brought a book with you.
I did.
That's a big old book.
I ordered a bunch of books, and I got a couple of them. I got my Nick Lowe book, Cruel to Be Kind. And I got into it a little bit, but I was really excited about The Art of Rock, a spectacular visual and oral history. And a lot of it is, for example, concert posters.
Oh, cool.
And I mean, they've got so many of them and so many shows. And I wish some of these are really valuable, actually. I mean, some of the old ones, if you have an original. But, you know, like that trippy dippy art form.
Type art?
Yeah, Fillmore, a lot of the Grateful Dead shows, a lot of the 60s shows had that really cool, let me see if I find an example.
Grandy Ballroom had some great stuff.
Yeah, Grandy Ballroom had some. Gary Grimshaw did those, who's local.
Right. Yeah.
And Gary went out to Oakland, I think. He was out there for a while. I think he was wanted, too.
Really?
Not for anything really bad, but I believe he was a fugitive for a while he was out there. And then he ended up coming back here, but he was a fabulous artist, and he did a lot of the really great work.
Did some artwork for you
on rock posters.
Didn't he do the artwork for the CD?
Mark Arminsky did.
Oh,
that,
that's
actually.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And Mark's great too. Mark's done a lot of concert posters around here, but I don't know.
Hi, Mark. Hitler painted. John Wayne Gacy painted. It's a good, solid hobby.
I always liked a lot of the punk posters in the 70s, you know, that would look like ransom notes.
Yeah, cut out newspaper letters.
Yeah, it was there's a lot of really creative stuff then. But the, you know, look at this really trippy stuff from back in the day.
Where did these people get the time to make these signs?
Some of them are hard to read. Like, look at that one to the right.
I know they are.
Buffalo Springfield. I can't even tell you what's on that.
I know. This one, it's like, who's the band?
It's a guy with an afro.
Hendrix Experience and Tim Buckley. And
yeah, they make up the body of, I guess that's supposed to be Jimmy. I don't know.
Moby Grape? Yeah, I don't know who that is. Yeah, this Doors one I love with the
that's cool
green and orange and the Doors in black. And they're at the Lavender Hill Mob Joint Effort Captains. What the fuck?
Are those the bands or the location?
No, the Earl Warren Showgrounds in Santa Barbara in 1967. And, of course, the prices are ridiculous. They're so low. Big Brother and Holding Company has some great ones. The Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane. So many funky, cool posters. Oh, there's some Who posters and some... let's see, Moby Grape. I want a Moby Grape. Canned Heat.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
Get a poster made.
So there was a Who one?
Yeah, there's a bunch of Who ones.
I love the Who.
But you're right. The country. The writing on these. The writing is so trippy. There's an MC5.
What's that one in the middle there?
Oh, Gary Grimshaw did that one.
Did he?
That's Hendrix, the big one.
No, the one in the middle, the blue. That's the MC5 one, the maize and blue one. And AI said maize.
Yeah, that is MC5.
Maybe that's why it stood out to me.
June 18, Wayne State University, 1967. Artist Gary Grimshaw. And then the MC5 at the Grandy Ballroom in 66. I didn't realize they played the Grandy Ballroom in 66. That's Gary Grimshaw, too. But, you know, the Rock of Art, it's just another category. I've always said, always wanted to do a rock and roll movie festival here, you know, when all the movies were here. That was my idea. It was like, hey, why don't we do a weekend where it's nothing but rock and roll movies at the Magic Bag, and maybe we'd have another theater, and we could have some Q&As with some of the people that, you know, do the documentaries. Because there's so many.
I had that idea like 3 days ago.
And then I thought it'd be cool to bring in all the rock and roll art, too, because when we had the Lennon art, I mean, that guy sold... Larry sold like $500,000 of Lennon art in one weekend here.
What's Larry
people
up
loved
to?
It.
Is he still doing it?
Yeah, Larry's still doing his thing, I believe. I'm going to check up on Larry. Larry Schwartz, great guy. He worked for Yoko.
No, Larry.
What a saint.
I know. Heard some pretty interesting stories, I have to admit. None that I can share. But, all that stuff.
Prints.
And the Jerry Garcia art is really cool. And, I mean, so many of these guys do artwork. I thought, wouldn't it be cool to get it all in one place? And there's a...
Yeah, all right. I'll see you guys there.
When I was in Maui, there was one...
Oh, I remember that.
...gallery that had lots
it's
of...
Maui time!
They had John Lennon. They had Ron Wood. They had Jerry Garcia. They had all these people's art in one place. And they also had some old posters that they had somehow dug up that were... really cool. So anyway,
cool.
Ron Wood is a really talented artist.
Isn't his stuff incredible?
I saw it in Chicago one time at a gallery. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, I love his stuff, especially the Rolling Stones stuff. It's funny how good those guys are at drawing each other. Like, I saw some Freddie Mercury drawings of Paul McCartney, and he had one of David Bowie, and they were fucking great. Huh. Yeah, that was on Twitter over the weekend, I believe.
Huh. Well, good for you.
And then there were some interesting rock and roll lists. Let's see. Like you said, they're always fun to argue about. People are all pissed off in the comments too, which is always
excellent.
Fun.
Are these aren't from Beato? What's Beato been doing? How's he quarantining? I hope he's all right.
What the hell Beato's doing?
Oh, we know what he's doing. He's rocking out.
Let's see. Where's the list? I think it was the kind of a goofy.
He would be a natural for that.
Rick.
Go through distance and play all his own instruments.
You're right. He would say, I can't have any other musicians in here. I'm socially distancing, so I'm going to play every instrument.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And sing.
I can't find the list I was looking for. I will find it. But I remember that I didn't get to a list of the top 50 albums of the 1990s.
Top 50 albums of the 90s? Well, OK Computer's number one.
Of the 1990s.
They might say Kid A.
And this is another one you could have a lot of arguments about, but, I mean, 90s, everybody, the millennials, that's their wheelhouse, the 90s, right?
Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, well, the ex-early millennial birth
yes.
millennials would be more 90s. And you know, I still like. I loved a lot of the 90s music.
Well, you got grunge.
Well, my, the 90s music for me was from ages 6 through 16. So, yeah, that's obviously a big, big chunk of how you learn to love your music.
You got Oasis. You got all the grunge stuff.
So yeah, but I also had, you know, Brit the early pop. 2000s, 16 to 25, where that was pretty good music, too. And then since then, there hasn't been a single good song.
Well, if you're slow developing, 16 to 25 would be more the zone, but more people, I think, it's the teenage music that they really relate to.
You think I forgot so? You weren't a teenager when you were 16, 17, 18, 19.
More than college.
I think the music that I know word for word stuck in my brain is like high school, college.
Oh, yeah.
And even like listening to the radio probably from the time I was, you know, 9 or 10 to 15, because my, you know, my sisters were into music, and I had older brothers and sisters. So maybe that's why. Maybe Brandon's not slow developing. Sorry, Brandon.
Well, I'm sure Homeless Al turned you on to some good tunes.
Homeless Al liked nothing but rock and roll, 80s rock and roll, hair bands. He lost all of his cassettes in the unfortunate fire that happened in our driveway.
It's just like you, and you got that passed on to you when your car burned. You lost all your CDs. It sucks.
What did Homeless Al like to rock out to? What bands?
Metallica, sweet. Before they went soft.
Before they cut their hair.
Exactly.
Soft.
Pardon me?
When did they go soft?
When they cut their
hair. I believe he felt that they went
when
soft
they
after the Black album.
Got rid of
Mustaine. That was really weird.
Your top 50 list, was it from something called Louder?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, Louder Sound.
I found it for you.
Black Crowes. No, I have that list. Black Crowes, Shake Your Moneymaker at number 50, which I was outraged by immediately. I was like, that should be higher. Jane's Addiction.
Which one?
Ritual.
Oh, De La Habitual.
Yeah. 48 Radiohead, The Bends. Fugazi, Repeater. Deftones.
There you go, Brandon. A great cover on that album.
White
too.
Pony or Adrenaline? Which one?
Around the Fur.
Around the Fur.
Around the Fur.
Okay. That's that album cover where it's like looking down on a girl in a bikini.
Yeah, Faith No More, King for a Day, Fool for a Lifetime, Bon Jovi, Keep the Faith.
Bon Jovi. I know. Do you think of Bon Jovi as a 90s band?
Not really, but that album did well. Aerosmith, Get a Grip, not one of my favorites. Ozzy, No More Tears, 42. Red Hot Chili Peppers, Californication, 41. I thought that might be higher. Yeah,
that's an excellent album.
Pearl Jam, Versus at 40.
Surprised that's that low.
Def Leppard, Adrenalize, 39. Slipknot, 38.
That's a good one.
R.E.M., Automatic for the People, which I did not.
What's on that?
Everybody Hurts. I hate that song.
That might be the biggest pussy song in the world.
I know, and I love R.E.M., but Everybody Hurts.
You're a pussy. Sometimes.
God, that is a... Can you play Everybody Hurts? I just want to hear how soft it is.
There's a great song on that album, though.
People love that Man in the Moon.
What time is it? Because I'm hurting.
I like Man in the Moon, but Night Swimming.
Yeah, Night Swimming is a great song. No, I love R.E.M. I love R.E.M. Actually, they're one of my favorite bands that I never think of when I'm thinking of my favorite bands. But I like early R.E.M. before they had hits.
Before they got rid of Mustaine.
If you think you've had too much. This life.
Do you remember this video?
Yes.
Everyone in their cars.
It's equally horrible.
Slow down.
Everybody hurts. Take comfort in your
pride. I have a heart and I have feelings. I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice.
Everybody
Don't do it.
Hurts.
People love this song, too. I don't know how.
It's hurting me very badly.
Because everybody hurts.
All the time.
It's very relatable, Drew. Everybody.
I guess if you're hurting.
If you're hurting.
You're awesome.
Pussy.
God, I can't imagine that rehearsing this song like 30 or 40 times. I think you'd go nuts.
Man up. Stop crying.
Black Crowes, Southern Harmony, and Musical Companion, 36. What? That should be higher, man.
That's all you do is talk about the Black Crowes.
I know. L7, bricks are heavy.
Fun fact about L7, did you know?
I don't have many fun facts about L7.
It's the girl who pulled her tampon on through. I think I bring it up every time L7 is mentioned.
Foo Fighters, The Color and the Shape, 34.
I think that's the best Foo Fighters album, too.
It's really
only 34.
Yeah, there's some. I know. I keep saying everything should be higher, but everything can't be higher. Nirvana Unplugged in New York City. I thought that was a great album.
That should be a top 10 album of the 90s.
Oasis, definitely, maybe.
Should that.
Yeah, that is such a great debut album. I don't know. Do you like Morning Glory better than Definitely Maybe?
I'd have to look at the track listing.
Well,
which one was first? I always confuse.
Oasis, Morning Glory has She's Electric, Wonderwall. What's the first track on Definitely Maybe? God, it's a great song.
Hello, maybe. Roll with it, Wonderwall. Don't Look Back in Anger. Yeah, I think I like What's the Story.
God and Grows.
I think I like What's the Story, Morning Glory better.
I like them both a lot. Maybe it's just that one, the first track on Definitely Maybe.
Rock and Roll Star.
Well, that's a good song too. That's not the first track though, is it? What's the first track on Definitely Maybe?
Is it Rock and Roll Star?
No. Oh, well, okay, the first track of The Other Side. Maybe. I don't know. Fuck. Why do I think it's the first song?
Supersonic. I don't know.
Oh, great song.
Maybe I don't like the album as much as I thought.
Yeah, you do. What are you talking?
Looking
about?
It up.
Definitely maybe Rock and Roll Star, Shaker Maker, Live Forever, great.
Live Forever, Live Forever.
Supersonics on there, Cigarettes and Alcohol, great song.
Live Forever is one of the best songs ever.
Yeah, maybe I do like this one better. I don't know. They're both the same to me.
Yeah, they're actually, I like them both a lot. Pantera, Cowboys from Hell, 31.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that's too high. Jeff Buckley, Grace. Why does everyone love Jeff Buckley so much?
The one with Hallelujah on it?
I think it is on there.
Hallelujah.
And I like Jeff Buckley, but he's not better than all these albums just because he fucking drowned.
Sorry.
Seriously. I'm sorry he drowned.
But he did Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't make... He didn't write Hallelujah. Leonard Cohen wrote Hallelujah.
Fun fact, Derek just covered Hallelujah on his YouTube channel.
Aww. Oh, Derek did?
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to hear that.
You really want to hear him sing?
Hallelujah.
Well, not right this second, but maybe after the list.
I can do that.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, 29.
Yeah, that should be top 10.
Slayer, Seasons in the Abyss, 28.
Yeah.
Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill.
That's probably appropriately ranked.
Soundgarden, Bad Motor Finger, 26.
Yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins, Siamese Dream.
Siamese Dream, wow. 25?
25. Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, 24. Nirvana, In Utero, 23. Okay, Queen, Innuendo.
What?
I don't even remember that album. Just because Freddie had AIDS, and died, and they had a big movie, and they play the songs in stadiums, doesn't mean that Innuendo is 22.
Can anybody name a song?
No, I can't. Trudy, Innuendo?
I am the biggest Queen fan possibly ever, and I can't, no.
Oh, that's an annoying choice.
I know. And then Manic Street Preachers at 21?
The fuck is that?
It's a British band.
They can suck it.
What song?
Manic Street Preachers. I think the reason they're so high is because their lead...
Somebody wants to be too cool?
I think their lead singer disappeared and was never found.
Really?
So that's why they're 21.
Well, how does that affect his music?
It just makes it better because he was never found. And he disappeared.
Well, they will never get any better.
Where is he? I want to talk to him.
Trudy, you remember when Joe Strummer disappeared?
Yeah.
From the Clash? That was kind of fun because we knew he didn't really disappear. It was a big scam. They were just trying to get attention. So he just went somewhere where you would never find him, and then they acted like they couldn't find him, and he disappeared.
That's awesome. That's great.
Imagine how much play he'd get today for that.
I know.
Iron Butterfly, though, the guy disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
He was working on
something. Teleported himself.
To the bottom of a cavern.
Exactly. Teleported himself, and he crashed his car.
Yeah, here's the actual audio of the portal he went through. Ready?
Put on your dick!
Damn.
I think after a while, his widow got pretty brittle about that whole thing. Everybody making fun of him.
Well, I mean, come on. We looked so hard for him. Come on. Get over it, honey. We looked for him. We looked for him for 20 years. We busted our ass trying to find the guy.
Shouldn't she be a little mad at him for teleporting to the bottom of the ravine?
You know, my favorite part of the story is before they found him, when they were acting like, well, he was really close to unlocking teleporting. Like he was just, you know, one ion away.
Is that possible to time travel speed?
Then they find him at the bottom of this cliff in his car.
I meant to do that. That was his final word. If only anybody heard him say that.
Number 20, Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
That's a double album. That's a good one.
Uplifting title, too. Pantera, Vulgar Displays of Power, 19. Nine Inch Nails, Downward Spiral.
Like it.
Dream Theater, Images and Words.
No, thanks.
Soundgarden, Super Unknown.
Huge.
Yeah.
Judas Priest, Painkiller at 15.
Whoa.
Wait, Rush Test for Echo? Is that a big Rush record? I just don't think that's the best Rush record, is it?
Well, it's probably, how many did they release in the 90s?
Was Roll the Bones in the 90s?
God, I don't think so.
Maybe. Green Day, Dookie,
yeah.
13.
Yeah.
Rage.
Oh, that should be top five.
Number 12.
First one.
Yep. Rage. Number 11, Megadeth, Rust in Peace. 11. I don't know the record. I would think some of these others would be higher, though. Tool, Enema.
Enema, yeah.
Yeah, 10.
Great album.
Yeah. Radiohead, okay, Computer,
what?
9.
That should be number one.
Faith No More, Angel Dust at
no
8?
Way.
Really?
No
really?
Way. Boy, someone on this who did this list really likes Faith No More.
Obviously. Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 at 7.
Yeah.
The Wild Hearts, Earth versus the Wild Hearts?
What?
What is that?
What?
I don't know what the hell.
This album, this list,
I don't even know that. I don't even know who that is. Alice in Chains, Dirt at number 5.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Therapy?
Huh?
Trouble Gum? Therapy?
Huh?
Who's Therapy?
Never heard of him. Next.
Is this list made from someone in Britain?
It's, yeah, it's got to be. Louder Sound? I don't know. Pearl Jam 10 at 3, Metallica 2, and Nevermind Nirvana number 1.
Yeah.
Wait. One of my all-time favorite albums.
Sucks, clearly.
Stone Temple Pilots Core, did you say that?
No, nope. Not one STP album on there. Yeah, I'm with you, Brandon.
What? STP Core, 1992. Everybody had that album.
Yeah.
Everybody listened to Sex Type Thing and Plush and Creep.
They have to be on the list. They absolutely have to be on the list.
In Wicked Garden. Come on, that CD was awesome.
Now, Rolling Stone did the 100 best albums. You want to know what the top 10 were?
The 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are they?
Okay, I mean, I'm just loading it up now. The record set to find a deck. Number 100 is Moby. You want me to do 100?
No.
I'm just kidding. Brandon!
Not if Moby is going to be on the list.
He's number 100.
Hey, did it meet Natalie Portman? Or at least he thought he did.
He saw Andy Dick take a dump on a cake.
Why did Natalie Portman have to come out and say, I did not date Moby? I mean, isn't it kind of funny that she did that?
Number 10 is Pavement, Crooked Rain. I don't know why critics love Pavement so much, but they do. 9 is Beck, Odelay. That wasn't even on the list,
that's
was
good.
It?
No,
that's
it wasn't.
Great album.
It's bullshit.
That's the other thing. No rap on that album. Or was it just top rock albums?
I think it was.
They
what about Silverchair?
Certainly leaning rock. Silverchair.
I like Silverchair's album, man.
Yeah.
Little frog on the cover. Notorious B.I.G. is their number 8. In Utero is 7. 10 by Pearl Jam is 6. 5 is Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. 4 is Achtung Baby. That wasn't even on that list, was it?
No. Mm-mm. That was a good record,
too. 3 is bullshit. Radiohead, OK Computer. How's that not number 1? The Chronic,
number 1's going to be Smells Like Teen Spirit.
The Chronic is Dre, and number 1 is Nirvana, Nevermind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Nevermind.
Yeah, it's number 1. It's always number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, totally defined our generation, man, with the way we just didn't give a fuck about nothing, and we liked flannels and stuff.
Pretty much.
We don't care what we're wearing on stage. We don't have any accoutrements like, you know, lasers and stuff.
Yeah, it's
we're
all
handling
about
coronavirus so well.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what does that have to do with it?
I don't know. All these articles keep publishing about how badass you guys are.
We are, because we don't complain about everything like you millennials.
Yeah, you sure like to brag about yourselves quite a bit online.
What are you talking about? No, nobody wrote
Gen
anything.
X is the ego generation.
I think a millennial wrote that article.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, only you would care about who wrote it.
I didn't realize Gen X needed to get over themselves so badly, but apparently so.
Yeah.
Sure. So how far in are we, Mark?
How far do you think we are?
I'm going to say 2 hours and 10 minutes or 15
minutes. You hit the nail on the head.
Is it 2:10?
It's like 2:08. Yeah.
Oh, man. I was saying that because I really thought it was like 2:30. I didn't want to be disappointed.
Well, that's what you get when you lie to yourself.
Damn it. Okay. So as far as the economy, which I was talking about this on the Friday show, that I'm surprised we're not hearing about more of like a mass depression, because I would think people would be starting to get really depressed.
Free Press had a big article today.
Oh, did they? Okay. Because yeah. The media usually will just overwhelm you with stories about depression when there isn't a reason for everyone to be depressed. It's like, oh, we're really worried about depressed people, and it's the holidays, and it's the... it's Easter, and a lot of people are depressed over Easter, so check. I mean, it seems like there's always stuff about depression, and I thought, God, it seems like if there was ever a reason to be depressed, it would be now.
Mm-hmm.
And
60 Minutes last night. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about 60 Minutes last night.
Oh, 60 Minutes was on depression?
Some of it, yeah. PTSD.
Okay. Wait, PTSD from this?
From the healthcare workers. It was really messed up.
Yeah, they will. They've seen a lot of people die.
As far as, I really tried to just stay away from reading all the shitty news, but it gets a little overwhelming after a while. Like today, they were talking about Macy's and it was three giant department store chains and just that pretty iffy.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And also that 50...
Well, part of the problem is a lot of people are forced now to buy stuff online.
Yeah.
And why would they bother going back? You're forced to do something, then you realize, oh, well, this isn't so bad.
And there you go again with, revenue going from X to zero.
Yeah.
Zero. In terms of retail, mm-hmm. zero. So
and all of it going to Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot to recover from. And, usually when you have a downturn, you can see it coming or you get a pretty good idea that, oh, this is going this way. We got to do this. We got to do this. You can adjust. You can't adjust to zero. I mean, you can try.
No, but when they start up again, that's going to be the real test is, are people going to come back? I mean, you got to hire people back.
Well, yeah, they will
come back. Macy's will open up again.
The thing is, everyone's not going to start doing everything the way they did it right away. And some people, like they're talking about the 57 million people who are in small businesses who are all at risk of, there's some pretty serious debate as to whether a lot of those businesses are going to arise when this is over. Because, you're going from whatever your current revenues are to absolutely zero. It's kind of hard to survive a long time like that.
What do you think? I don't want to use the word failure rate, but what percent do you think won't come back?
That's a great question. I would assume restaurants, only because that's what we're looking at all the time.
It's going to be hit the hardest.
I think restaurants are going to be, whew, boy. But then new ones will open.
Yeah.
I mean, new ones, but how fast does that happen? And also, the other thing that I worry about, and I'm sure a lot of people do, is, are we going to be able to have a full restaurant? I mean, can we just pack our patio the way we used to? Probably not.
That'll be a while, yeah.
So, I don't know. We're scrambling our asses off to try and get through this and to, become a carryout business, which is working out. I mean, it's going pretty well. I cannot complain. And
I got Mesa on Friday night.
Did you? What'd you get?
I got Portobello fajitas, and they were awesome.
I love their fajitas. Love them. And I like the quesadillas too. The brisket quesadillas are really good. In fact, I'm getting Mesa tonight. I've been living at Mesa as far as food goes. So, then what I haven't really thought about, and I'm going to have to pretty soon, is like, how the fuck are we going to make it through the winter?
Well, yeah, the timing of this doesn't really help.
That is just so bad. It's like the concert business. I mean, how's the concert business going to, summer is, all those tours going on.
You don't think most people will want to get out in some shape or fashion?
Yeah, I think they will, but I just don't think they can. If we have to lower our capacity to 50% of what it is, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
You're right, Mark. There's going to be big, big, big coronavirus parties, corona parties. They'll probably name it something. Like
the new normal party.
No, but they'll have a catchy name for your coronavirus party, and they'll start throwing them.
Well, no, like sure they will. I know, absolutely. Especially, people who are prone to party and, want to be part of big crowds. Yeah, there's going to be a temptation to do that. But I'm just saying from a business standpoint, you know, we're probably going to have a lot of the same concerns that we have right now. So, you know, there's all those problems with retail and, you know, brick and mortar, because brick and mortar, you can't really go to brick and mortar right now. Or you can't go to a lot of brick and mortar. You know, Amazon's taking the whole ball of wax away from everybody.
You know, the whole thing with the payroll protection, what's it called? Is it payroll?
PPE?
PPE, is that what it's called?
I think
the,
so.
The new act?
Oh, no, PPE, wait, that's equipment, isn't it?
Yeah, that's personal, protective equipment. Yeah. What's it called? The Payroll Protection Act?
Act, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I was reading something about it, and they posed this question. Instead of paying the businesses and then paying unemployment to all these people, why didn't the government just pay the paychecks for the people that get cut from these small businesses?
Socialism, Mark!
I mean, I guess that doesn't help the business owner in paying their rent. But still, if the point is making the loans forgiven,
well,
the loans are forgiven if you don't get rid of any people when this is over. So why not just pay those people directly, cut out the middleman, and then
that
help
totally
us?
Simplifies it.
Why don't we all just submit all our bills to the federal government and have them pay all of them?
It's fine with me.
Just do that.
Good. Do it.
You know, that's the problem. You can help someone along the chain, like the workers, but that doesn't help the guy who has to pay all the overhead. So, you know, it just seems like it's really hard to cover every base and make everyone whole. It's impossible.
Well, am I stepping into too much leftist territory if I think Germany has got a sort of a cool idea where they keep businesses going, like during 2008?
Bunch of liberal trendies.
How do they do it?
Well, they pay them to keep going. They supplement and they keep them going until they can get back on their feet again. And so they can keep workers and people can still have health care. And
makes too much sense.
Well, if it works, it works. I mean,
worked for them.
I'm just wondering if, you know, they have 80 million people compared to our 330 or whatever. I mean, does a big difference occur when you have more people?
But we also have a lot more money.
We do. And we also have a lot more needs. We're a lot more spoiled.
Wait, you think we're more spoiled than Germans?
Probably, yeah.
Really?
Ooh, the Germans!
Look at, just...
They have free healthcare.
As an example, pay out the ass for it.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I wouldn't say that we're more spoiled than the Germans.
Well, I don't know. What's their average household income?
Maybe Germans just don't complain.
I don't know. Well, they seem like they're in pretty good shape when we went there, Roger.
Just get in line and do what they're told.
It's a German thing. You wouldn't understand.
I'm not sure what home ownership is like in Germany. Do people own homes in the kind of percentages we do here?
Probably not.
Okay, you know, as far as just making everyone whole, look at Disney, for example. Does $69 billion in revenues. $26 billion comes from their 6 global theme parks. Are they going to make $26 billion from their global theme parks? Are people going to just crowd up? Not to mention the fact that they're not open for a long time.
They're making a killing on Disney Plus right now.
They also, they are making some of it up on Disney Plus, but I mean, I think that was already in the mix.
Doesn't help the employees, the hourlies.
Well, it doesn't help the people who are receiving revenues up from the theme parks. Yeah. And then $24 billion comes from their media networks, which are currently unable to air a lot of the things like ESPN Sports, is airing spelling bees instead of events.
Did you see they put the kibosh on Dana White getting his own island and doing the UFC?
Why?
I don't know. I got to read more into that story. Do you know why they did that? Brandon, why Disney, ABC, ESPN said, no, you guys are not doing that. We're not airing it. And the WWE is done now, too. They said, okay, we're not doing any more events without crowds. But I think that had to do with their contract running out. Like, they fulfilled it.
Oh, okay.
So now, now...
And
the XFL's no more, too, which is very...
Yes,
sad.
The XFL.
I'm so shocked because they were headed for big numbers next year. They were going to be filling stadiums.
Boy, man.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
I'm sorry. Another professional football league. I just don't think there was a need. I know people love to watch football, but they love to watch great football.
I don't know. According to their league spokesman, the XFL quickly captured the hearts and imaginations of millions of people who love football.
No, they didn't.
They're also.
I don't know. I was hooked from the promos.
Neither team has been able to breach the goal line and get into the red zone and put points up on the board. If you like fat people making love, this is perfect because we're just rolling around. They just can't stick it in.
The XFL. It's real football featuring players with real nicknames.
Oh, he hate me.
He's
the most
star.
Famous he hate me in the world.
He is a big star.
I'll tell you what, he's a great player.
See it. Hear it. Feel it, the XFL.
I talked to Terry Bowles before the game, and he and I have something in common. He collects Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
You won't believe the outrageous fan interviews during the game.
Hey, are you guys having fun today?
Yeah.
Do you agree with Coach Skipper's halftime speech where he said that the demons had him and then let him back up?
Absolutely. You got him down, keep him down. Yeah.
We'll even talk to players live right after they... up.
Jose, that was huge for your team to miss that field goal. Can you come back strong?
I mean, I'll just kick it straight through the right. I'll be back.
And the XFL has the bitches.
It's a ta-ta timeout.
Masturbate to the skankiest mic cheerleaders in sports history.
I'm a poochin' one.
And only in the XFL do we open up so many microphones simultaneously, nobody knows when the they're on.
Get the Memphis card. Hey, John, I'm sorry I f***ed you on that other one.
The XFL. Giving you the most disjointed, overmodulated commentary you've only dreamed of.
Jim Skipper, you ended up telling him I really want you to come back and play what kind of player he was in New Orleans when he coached him down there. He's a rookie of the year.
See it, feel it, hear it. The XFL, Saturday nights on NBC and Sunday on UPN.
As Rashall in motion, Sheehy, Wendell Davis, Maddox, James Hunden, Jimmy the Jet, Cunningham, Del McGee, Chris Fuamatu,
Ooh, that's just Luke Smacking good. Yeah. That reminds me, Kyle Larson, the NASCAR driver, was doing a driving game challenge. And I guess he didn't realize that it was going out to everyone. Yeah. And he called somebody the N-word.
He was quickly told, though, that it was going out everywhere. I don't know if you saw.
After he said it.
Yeah, they're like, I think maybe we should tell Kyle.
And
Oops.
He's been suspended without pay.
Apologize.
I thought it was interesting that the story said that he's the first NASCAR driver of Japanese descent. Does that somehow color his use of the N-word?
Yeah, makes it okay.
No, it just was interesting to me. Like, what does that mean?
So I'm a Japanese!
So he'd be thrown out of the league completely if he wasn't of Japanese descent? Thrown out of the NASCAR? I mean, what does that mean?
That means if you ever just go anywhere online gaming, you're going to hear people screaming that word all the time anyway.
Oh, God.
That's a
good one.
I got an email from Corey, who is livid because he bought tickets. I think his family was going to Jamaica on Delta Vacations, $3,500 worth of tickets, and can't get his money back. They want him to reschedule by 12:31.
Oh.
There's going to be a class action lawsuit. There has to be. It has to be.
How dare the airlines say, I don't have any money.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got money from people who didn't get the service you promised to give them. And you're getting money from the federal government, you fucks, because you did all these stock buybacks, you assholes.
Yeah.
And now you would dare to. I mean, just shows they don't care. They just don't give a shit about you. The airlines never have, never will. And
but like. Is there any difference between like the big airline companies and then a small business in which, you know, they can't, they're not getting people that are flying their airplanes, even though if you look at the flight tracker, the United States is having like tens of thousands of flights right now as we speak. And I don't understand it, but
I don't either. I don't understand it at all.
The flight tracker, if you go to like Europe, there's like barely any. And then if you go over the United States, it's like a billion planes in the air. I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I can't have someone come over and mow my lawn. But people are flying all over the fucking place. I mean, really? Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I would if I didn't know better, I would just think Metro Airport would be closed right now.
Well,
because everyone's staying at home.
Isn't that considered a federal thing? So wouldn't the federal government have to say no more flights?
It has nothing to do with being federal or local. I would just assume
it would be closed.
I would just assume that people who's flying. Why are people flying around? Why would they be not at home like me, like you? And you and you.
Well, there's still seven states that don't have that.
No, I understand that, but we don't. So why are people flying? What is so important? I'd like to know from every I want a forensic accountant to talk to every passenger flying out of Metro and find out where the fuck are they going?
Unless you're volunteering to help out, you know, a hot spot like New York or New Orleans.
I guarantee you that is not every person on every flight.
It's probably less than 1%. Hey, speaking of flying, I just saw this story. Read that story. It's right. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. 64-year-old man accidentally ejected himself from a fighter jet, 2,500 feet. Oops.
That's not even that high.
Surprise company outing to an airbase caused a 64-year-old French man so much stress that he flung himself from a fighter jet in midair, grabbing the ejector button in a panic and tumbling through the skies above France before landing in a field.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
He may have been surprised by employees at his firm who had organized a joyride in a Dassault Rafael B-Jet, firm as a tree.
What a stupid present.
But they apparently didn't know their colleague as well as they thought. Once the man arrived at the airbase and realized his coworkers had arranged this, he began to feel extremely stressed, according to a fairly remarkable aviation accident report by the federal government agency. The unnamed man had never expressed any desire to fly in a fighter jet, had no previous military aviation experience.
So why did they put him up there?
Why didn't he just not go? Did he have to go?
He apparently had to
go. So if you buy someone something, they have to go.
It's a work outing. You don't want to be that guy. So instead you're going to be that guy that launched himself out of the plane.
Thanks to a watch he was wearing, which could measure his heart rate, investigators noticed his heart was in full tachycardia before the flight, with a record heart rate ranging from 136 to 142 beats per minute. But the man went through with the ride, joining a three-plane training exercise as a passenger.
What a team player.
Has a maximum speed of 870 miles an hour. When the jet was 2,500 feet above the ground and the pilot began to climb, the passenger panicked and reached for something to hold on to. Unfortunately, that something was the ejector seat button, and the 64-year-old flew from the fighter jet.
Okay, bye.
this is the best.
Can I hear Stan say okay, bye? To make matters worse, he had not securely attached his helmet, which went flying in midair. Fortunately, the man avoided serious injury after tumbling to earth in a field near the German border. Investigators concluded
okay, bye.
Was caused by an involuntary reflex prompted by stress and the jet's sudden movement. The pilot was not ejected and managed to land the plane safely despite suffering minor facial injuries during the ordeal.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
Funny. Wait. How did he land safely? He had a parachute then?
I guess, yeah. I guess you got to have one.
And everyone on the ground said,
what's he doing up there?
Why isn't he on that plane? I love that. Of all things he grabs onto, the ejector button.
I know, it's hilarious.
Without a helmet, by the way.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad he's okay.
So these airlines and, you know, the Tigers and all these sports teams. What are you fucking kidding me? The Pistons No, that's what I heard. The Pistons and the Red Wings have not refunded money yet.
Jeez.
The Red Wings I know is true because the person I talked to is a serious season ticket holder.
Michigan is allowing a payment plan for a season that we don't even know is going to happen. So in other words, you know, usually you have to pay up front, and they've kicked the date down for season tickets. I think it's due the 15th of this month now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now, but they're like, we'll do a payment plan. But
so Michigan still thinks they're going to pack 113,000 people into a stadium.
In August, yeah.
No way.
It's April in the D, that magical month when the Pistons, Red Wings, and the Tigers are all playing at the same time.
I have to admit, when Kirk Herbstreit said, I don't know how the fuck we're playing any football this fall.
What does Kirk Herbstreit know about?
Well, that's sort of what I said, and I thought, are you kidding? No football. And then
other than talk, he probably talks to a lot of people.
The more I read about it, I cannot imagine, because the quarantining business for the players is so extreme, to quarantine all these people before they start, and then if there's any evidence, then they got to quarantine them again. They got to quarantine the teammates that were around them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is really, even to play without fans, this is a I think it might have been Sports Illustrated. It was a lot of medical people talking about how difficult it would be and how these people would have to be kept away from everyone else.
No, we'd have to be, quote unquote, back to normal, which
right.
No one
which
feels
we're not going
right
to be
now.
No, we can't be. We don't have a vaccine.
What did Fauci say? He said November, he thinks. That was the date.
Well, they're working like crazy on it, but.
Oh, they think the vaccine will be in January at the earliest. That's 12 months out from getting the
Take
code.
Your time, you guys. Jesus.
Let's go, science. It's taking you so long, science.
Kate Beckinsale. Kate Beckinsale. Always great to hear about Kate Beckinsale's love life. I think nobody understands love better than Kate Beckinsale. Kate Beckinsale is proving she's got a type. Spry, strapping lads, 30 or younger. And in this case, her new fellow's on the younger end of the spectrum. The actress was spotted out Sunday in Brentwood, where she was holding hands. Well, she's out in Brentwood.
The picture showed her walking around.
A.K.A. Little Miss Slut Slut.
With Goody Grace, a Canadian musician who happens to be 22.
Hashtag slut.
They seem pretty cozy. The PDA almost certainly signals, why is she always PDAing with...
I think she's going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, if you go to her Instagram, she can't be nuder or in tighter clothes.
Nuder.
Slut.
That kid looks like he's seriously 14 years old, too.
Well, now I'm going to her Instagram based on that hard sale.
I didn't see this picture of them walking together, but if you've ever seen or heard of Goody Grace, the kid looks really young.
Well, just Google her name, and it's the top news story that keeps popping up. It does. She does. He does look like he could be her grandson. I mean, she's only 46.
But. I saw the story. Maybe Brandon sent it to me about the soccer player, the superstar soccer player.
Neymar.
Neymar. His mom is dating a 22-year-old.
Really?
Yeah, and she's got to be. She was just out of a 25-year marriage, so she's got to be 50, right?
It's a heady play by that guy. Maybe he wants to knock her up and be the dad of the next Neymar.
You know it, and so
not sure the example shown.
Okay, true.
The example shown were a bunch of TikToks that this guy made, and he's just dancing.
Oh, I know.
If I was so Neymar, stupid. I'd be so pissed.
Well, Kate Beckinsale-Dale, her new post on Instagram is: "We're in a very specific toxic Easter dynamic over here, and it's a video of her doing jumping jacks in very little clothing. It looks pretty good. I'm gonna like it.
Yeah." She's really clinging to that. I'm the hottest.
I didn't even notice there's a cat in the foreground trying to eat something. I didn't even notice that. I was just watching her doing jumping jacks.
Brandon, did you see the pictures
of
Neymar's mom with the 22-year-old?
I didn't see the pictures of them together, but I saw the picture of the 22-year-old, but I can look it up right now.
There's a couple pictures. It looks ridiculous. It's like, why is this old lady with this kid? I mean, it just looks weird. I think 50-year-old guys with 22-year-old girls looks ridiculous. But for some reason, it looks even weirder the other way to me.
Dean Santos, is that her name? How old is
you
she?
You got to stop cock-blocking your mom.
I don't know, but her son's 28, the soccer player.
Yeah, and the guy she's dating, you see what his occupation is?
Is he a TikTok?
He's a gamer.
Oh, cool. Good for her.
Christ. Good for you. She's 52. Yikes.
It just looks ridiculous. What this guy, when he's, you know,
he's a big fan of Neymar. Maybe he wants to just get an autograph.
When he's 40 and she's 70, is he going to be pumped about that?
This dude looks weird.
I know. He is.
Is he gay?
He's totally weird. That's what I thought when I looked at him. Plus the way he's dancing in the video. He's just dancing with himself, just having a ball.
He looks like Joe Exotic's current husband.
I was thinking the very same thing, Brandon.
Tiago Ramos is his name.
There has to be meth involved.
Yeah, maybe Neymar's mom has meth.
Yeah, I mean, if you're always got great chompers, some really way younger person, I would say, yeah, definitely get in some meth, and who knows?
Oh my God, I hate this guy. Oh, wait, who are these big boob chicks?
I don't speak Spanish.
I give up. Who are they?
He does the same. Oh my God! He does the same pose in every picture, Drew. He gives a thumbs up with this big toothy grin. Every photo, it's really funny.
It's so stupid.
Every single photo with other people in it. That's a fun trip ragging on some guy I've never met.
So we have 7,300 views of today's Facebook Live already. That's a lot. Thursday had, I think, 10,000. Monday with Kirk Gibson had 18,000. One of them had 24,000.
Really?
Like a week and a half ago?
Well, good for you.
It's crazy. we should, why don't we try to do an hour or more tomorrow?
Okay.
If there's something that's going to get us kicked off, let's just delay it.
Yeah, not do it. Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
Or do it until we do get kicked off.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we can't post it. Right?
I wouldn't know.
Hey, by the way.
Hey, you were always buzzkill, Brandon. When are you into breaking the rules now?
Blazer on Bill Maher?
Yeah.
Who?
Nikki Glaser.
Nikki Glaser was on Bill Maher, and she's also on...
She was very funny, too, on Maher.
It was really good, yeah.
But it's funny because she would deliver a joke in the conversation, and it kind of lands flat because of the delay or his response. Because once again, you don't have a crowd laughing at it. It's weird.
But I feel like she manages that really well. And she's also going to be on, what's the Jimmy Kimmel-hosted game show?
Oh, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, she's going to be a millionaire, too.
Oh, man, I missed the second one with Will Forte.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I have to go back and rewatch those.
Wait,
is it aired yet?
Nice job! None of you.
The second one hasn't aired yet.
Oh, it hasn't aired?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it was back-to-back nights.
Wasn't the first one on Thursday night or Wednesday night? Oh, were they back-to-back? I didn't know.
I don't know. Drew, I'm probably totally wrong.
Yeah, except Will Forte is actually going to be, he's not going to give it to charity. He's actually going to keep the money if he wins.
You know, much like the economical problems that I have had as an adult, my father had the same problems. I guess I inherited them from him.
And his father is his lifeline.
Why don't you get us out of here?
Already?
And, I just saw Charlie had a post about unemployment. These poor people trying to get through to unemployment or get on the website. Sounds like the most frustrating thing ever.
Yeah, the website failed today.
It's a debacle.
And I think because...
Total debacle. The numbers have to be crazy off because there's so many people that can't get through. How can they possibly come up with numbers?
I think today was the first day, too, that independent contractors can get on there. So that's
if you're
probably...
an Uber driver or you work for a podcast or something like
what?
That.
What?
I don't know. It's an independent contractor. You know.
Oh, believe me. I know.
So, I don't know. I don't understand how this all works, but...
We'll be fine.
Just take it one day at a time.
We'll get through it.
Tomorrow we'll try to expand the Facebook. Trying to make it grow like a rash. I really feel like there's something there. Maybe it's just not for us. Maybe it's just for another show.
Drew, you got a new show to watch tonight. The Bachelor music thingy.
I saw that.
No.
What?
No.
You're going to watch it too. I don't care if it's your
birthday.
No, I'm
not.
Yeah. Do you get the remote control on your birthday?
Shut up, Mark.
Is that your birthday present that you don't have to watch this?
I got a polo shirt.
Why aren't you wearing it?
So the polo shirt's your present, so you do have to watch the new Bachelor show.
I ain't watching that crap. No way.
It's totally watching.
I'm telling Kristen. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Happy birthday to him.
I don't care.
I agree with my wife.